Rich, and we're so thankful and grateful for our local pastors that have volunteered to pray for us. We thank you all so much. And this morning, we have Brother Tommy Stanley from Shiloh Primitive Baptist Church as our lead center of prayer.
That each one would have the wisdom of Solomon in order to be able to govern in the way to provide for the needs of this county, with the meager resources they have, and use it in a way that would benefit the whole of the county. I pray, Lord, that as the governor makes a decision to select a replacement for which the president did select one that would fit well with the agenda and the goals of the county, and they all be able to work together in harmony to provide the necessities that we so need for. I pray that you would be with their families, be with each one of them, protect them, Lord, from physical harm as well as verbal abuse. I pray that they'd have the stamina to proceed to govern with their heart and with their conscience, under the divine guidance and leadership. We thank you for our nation, for the homes we have, and the ability to stand and pray before the public gathering. And since I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. As you all know by now, Commissioner Russell passed away on February the 10th, and we're very saddened by his death. We don't know who the governor is going to appoint yet, but I just want to say in the meantime, for you folks that are in that district, what is it, District 1?
Three.
Okay. For all of you down there, if you have any immediate needs that can't wait for another commissioner, feel free to call me, or I'm sure any commissioner up here or staff. So don't think you're left down there without somebody to represent you. We all are here to help you, so don't hesitate to call. Just a couple of rules. If you wish to speak today on something that we're discussing, if you will raise your hand and I will recognize you, and you can come to the podium and state your name and address and speak for 3 minutes. If you wish to speak on something that's not on the agenda today, you'll have that opportunity at the end of the meeting. If it's something that requires more than 3 minutes, or requires further research or something, then it can be agenda for a future meeting. If you have your cell phones, if you don't mind to silence them at this time. And with that being said, we will move to item number 3, approval of agenda. I have one item, item 15. Dana Sutherland, Supervisor of Elections, to appear to request approval of certificate regarding matching funds and certificate of equipment for casting and counting ballots. I'd like to move that to 10A. Are there any other changes, deletions, additions, or anything else to today's agenda?
None here.
Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
And we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids, public hearings, number 4. The board to hold a public hearing set for this date at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible on the passage of a proposed ordinance to add additional slow speed, minimum weight in certain areas of spring water to ordinance number 2000-6. What we're going to do is we will have a motion to read the ordinance by title only, then I'll let the public speak and then we'll adopt the ordinance if that's the way it goes.
How long?
I don't have a copy of the ordinance.
Wasn't in the packet?
Wasn't in the packet.
I sent the assistant administrator to get a copy of that.
Okay. And the administrator gets a copy. I'll make a motion. We ask the attorney to read the ordinance by that.
Okay. Well, let's come on quickly then to the consent items. Consent items 5 through 9.
I move to approve the amendment.
I want to explain to the board from item number 8 what we're doing in some of these resolutions is we are amending the budget to be the exact amount that's carried forward. In the housing budget, you had budgeted $64,779. The actual carry forward was $49,127.97. And in your airport budget, you budgeted $15,000. And the project that they were working on was completed before the end of the year, so that was a zero. And then on the number 9, those housing, the budget was reduced to carry forward the balances that was in each one of those housing years that you got this year, 08. 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So it reflects exactly what we're doing.
This is sort of an administrative exercise. Yeah. Our finance person has to go through.
Right.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Vance. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 10, Dan Schaefer, Cross Point Baptist Fellowship to appear to request approval to hold a public gathering on the steps of the courthouse on Thursday, May the 3rd, 2018. Is Mr. Schaefer here?
He's not here, but I think it's for their annual day of prayer. I believe that's what it's for.
We've done it several times.
Yes, we have. Yes. National Day of Prayer.
Yep. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop, are you ready?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
You have said you would put...
I made a motion to ask Mr. Bishop to read the ordinance by title.
Okay, and was there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
An ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida to add additional slow speed minimum weight to ordinance number 2006, section 782 of the Taylor County Code to provide for the protection of life and to prevent damage or injury to life. I set slow speed minimum weight in certain areas of Spring Warrior in Taylor County, Florida, providing for severability and providing an effective date.
Thank you. I will open up this as a public meeting. Anyone here that would like to discuss this, come forward, state your name and address. Yes, sir, you come forward.
Stan Ridgeway, 911 Riverside, Steenhatchee. Where does the slow speed start and stop? On the creek.
On the curve right in front of the bath house. Get your mouth coming in the mouth.
Okay.
It's going to fall out there.
It's going to
make
start.
A curve. Whatever the bar sticks out into the creek right there.
Okay.
It's going to start there and then go all the way, should go all the way up, you know.
What do you mean by all the way up?
All the way to the boat ramp, I would think.
You'll stop by the boat ramp?
That's what I think the understanding is. They were going to put another slow speed sign just below the boat ramp going out.
Okay.
Where people wouldn't run by everybody on the dock and, you know, and,
right.
Beat their boats up and down on the dock and that kind of thing.
That's the limits of the map. That's the limits that we showed in the map that was submitted for this ordinance.
About
from the boat ramp to, like say, last house, you make the curve, the sign's right on the right.
Right.
That's
right.
Fine. That should help.
It should help. I've had a lot of people call me about it, and a lot of people was both ways. Some people think they need to get up and run when it's shallow water, but they know and I know if they hit a rock running out there at low water, they could hurt themselves or hurt somebody else in the boat, so maybe it'll serve its purpose.
Okay. Well, it should have.
It should have.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak about this item? Yes.
So, I thought you were going to speak, but this is the one where we had to repeal an ordinance, and then we had to do this, and we're trying to satisfy FWC, Florida Wildlife Commission, with respect to this, because they warned us that we shouldn't have done what we did in passing it prior to them approving it. Hopefully, we won't have any more issues with that as a practical matter. And like I said, this is just for safety purposes more than anything else.
Okay. And here's the
Comrade, if I could get a copy of that letter of approval from FDC to attach to this ordinance, it'd probably be.
I think Steve can give you that. I don't have it.
Please.
Do you
have
approval from
SWC to Roman
OA?
Well, they had that in those.
It's in here?
No, ma'am. When they get this, after it's been approved by the board, then they'll send the approval and the permit back. It's in their review right now. We've had to send all this to a Ms. Pinkwell
So you're basically approving it again before they issue the permit?
Right. Okay. They said we should have gotten them to approve the ordinance before, and the ordinance was they struck down and disapproved us having idle speed no wake signs in the Springwater Creek.
Oh.
They said that due to the distance, and I went down and took photographs during low tide and showed them rocks and. It's a mile long through there, almost a mile long, and they said by statute it would justify slow speed minimum wake, which I think is one thing that the citizens want people to slow down. And so that's the purpose of this, was to put it, bring it in line with the way the statute is now.
Thank you. Anyone else?
They had people been asking FWC down there why they weren't, you know, enforced. I mean, they had to tell them all this had to be in paperwork had to be in before they could enforce it.
Yeah. Okay, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion?
A motion to approve the ordinance.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dents. All in favor say aye.
Roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Commissioner Moody?
Yes.
Mr. Page?
Yes.
Mr. Dent?
Yes.
Mr. Beagle? Yes.
Passes
by
unanimous vote. Okay, item number 11. Linda Power to appear to discuss 2nd Street Northeast and Steam Hatchet.
And
we did 10.
And Rama skipped over it and we voted on 10.
I'm
sorry.
Exactly right.
Thank
you. I'll bear with us. Forgive me. 10A, Dana Southern, Supervisor of Elections, to appear to request approval of certificate regarding matching funds and certificate of equipment for casting and counting ballots.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for making that agenda change.
You're so welcome. Almost messed it up. Anyway.
This is a request to approve a grant. This is the same federal elections grant that we apply for each year. This money helps offset the expense of sample ballots, newspaper advertisements, poll worker training during a general election. If approved, the county would receive $1,912.22. We have to just agree to match that with a 15% match, which would be $286.83. Again, I'm willing to absorb that $286.83 out of my budget, so I'm not asking for any additional money from the board. I just need you to approve the application, and then I'll need a signature for such.
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Before Daniel, the building looks great.
It does, doesn't it?
Right. I know you're eagerly awaiting the big move.
We are slowly moving in already, so it's going to happen. We're excited.
By our deadline, March 1st?
Probably not March the 1st. We'll probably be pushing middle of March, but it's going to happen. Yep. Thank y'all. Each
right.
of you.
Well, thank you.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay, now item number 11, Linda Cowart to appear to discuss 2nd Street Northeast and Steam Hatchet. She's not here. Okay, we will move on to item 12, Jeff Hendry, Executive Director, North Florida Economic Development Partnership, to appear to request approval of draft resolution and letter of support for redesignation of membership. Do we want to read the resolution by title only first? Would that be, so is there a motion to read the resolution by title only?
I move.
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. A resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, expressing its support that the designation of Rural Area of Opportunity, RAO, continue to apply to the North Central Florida region, incorporating Baker, Bradford, Columbia, Dixie, Gilchrist, Hamilton, Jefferson, Lafayette, Levy, Madison, Putnam, Suwanee, Taylor, and Union counties, including the cities, towns, and communities within each, and the continuation of all rural regional development grant funding for the North Florida Economic Development Partnership, NFEDP, through funds appropriated by the Florida Legislature and administered through Florida's Department of Economic Opportunity, and providing for an effective date no later than June 1, 2018.
Thank you. Yes.
So I just wanted to give y'all just a brief overview of the purpose of the Rural Area of Opportunity. Just tell you a little bit about why it's necessary, how it's done, and the value, quite frankly, to each and every one of the 14 counties we represent. If you could advance that slide. I just wanted to give y'all a picture of there's actually three official Rural Areas of Opportunity designated in the state of Florida. That's done by executive order of the governor. And you can see us in the yellow. We're by far the largest rural area of opportunity. We cover about 9,100 square miles. We're staffed by the North Florida Economic Development Partnership, which I'm blessed to be able to be the executive director for. The other two sister RAOs, just for your information, are Opportunity Florida, which is in Northwest Florida, that green section. And then down in the red section is the Florida Heartland Economic Region of Opportunity. You can advance the slide now. Every 5 years, we have to go through an official recertification and redesignation by the governor's office. We're our particular designation expires in June 18th of 2018, so we're going to each and every county commission to try to obtain an approval of the resolution as well as a letter of support, which is required by the Department of Economic Opportunity. It's quite a bureaucratic process. They have to usher this all up, so we've got to get all our data in-house, letters of support and resolutions before we forward it on so they can move it up to the governor for the governor's signature. One of the requirements that we also have to do is collect a lot of data related to the current distress factors that make up this designation. And just to give you a sense of what those distress factors are, there's eight of them. Per capita income, average annual wage, transfer payments, such as personal income. A lot of that is our transfer payments for free lunches, for SNAP program, and things of that nature within our counties. Per capita taxable value of the property in the county, poverty rate, and then average unemployment rate and employment stability. Just to give y'all, I'll be glad to send this on for distribution for y'all, because we just got this data yesterday. But in essence, I'll just give you a couple of examples. The average unemployment rate Taylor's currently doing, they're 48 out of 67 counties. And so this is not an uncommon thing that we see in a lot of our rural counties, 14 rural counties, therefore the designation of a rural area of opportunity designation. I would bring to your attention also that we look at the value. What's the value of the rural area of opportunity? Quite frankly, let me just say this, and I mean this genuinely. I think our job before the end of our time is to get us out of that designation. But while we're in it, there are some values and some benefits to be having that designation. One of them is to get waivers and matches on certain types of infrastructure grants, career source development grants, and so forth. Another is a lot of the infrastructure type grants that we have to go and try to pursue on behalf of counties, or your staff pursues on behalf of your county, has job requirement thresholds. A lot of times those thresholds can be waived and or reduced in terms of the numbers of jobs that we have to get for, say, a water, wastewater treatment plant, road expansions, or things of that nature. A second thing that it does is at times, and I'll give community development block grants as an example, we're able to not have the limit of what that CDBG grant would be. For example, it might be a $750,000 limit or threshold in statute, but at times in our rural areas of opportunity, we can get that increase. I'll give an example in Suwannee County for their catalyst site. We were able to go above $750,000 about 3 years ago and secure almost $3 million. So there are a lot of values and benefits for being part of the rural area of opportunity. I think an intangible benefit, if I could point one out to you, is a lot of times when we're applying for federal grants that benefit the region overall, we're able to kind of look at us holistically as a region. You know, when we start looking at generating workforce numbers to be able to attract a grant into our region or in for your individual county, let's just use Lafayette County as an example. They have a total population roughly of around 8,000 people. So when you start getting that number down in terms of what's the workforce population there, that might not be an attractive thing for an employer, but when you start looking at a 60-mile radius of people that are willing to commute in and out for jobs, our workforce numbers, they start to generate and go higher extremely well. So we've really got a workforce population in our region willing to travel 45 to 60 miles for a job of about 400,000. When you look at our proximity, they're not in the rural region, but when you incorporate Alachua County into it, or you incorporate the Tallahassee MSA into it, those workforce numbers mean a lot more, and they can really kind of benefit a lot of the grants. So I'm here for two reasons. This is the first issue, is to have you all consider adopting the resolution to have Taylor County. We have 13 out of 14 counties right now that have chosen to adopt the resolution and letter of support. Those are the two items on the first one that I wanted to deal with. So if you have any questions about that designation or the value of the rural area of opportunity, I'll be glad to try to answer them for you before you consider what action you may or may not want to take.
Okay, are there any questions from the board?
I'd like to get one of your cards before you leave.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Any questions from staff?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just had one.
Yes.
Now, you discussed the benefits. Are there any associated costs to Taylor County?
To be a part of the rural area of opportunity, there's absolutely no financial commitment to be a part of the RAO. The second item on review does deal with a financial commitment, but this particular item does not.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Motion to approve the resolution.
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The next part is about the letter of support for redesignation.
Motion to approve the letter of support.
Second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
You can go ahead and vote. But I was just going to mention the record. Jeff's a good Taylor County man. He's got his roots here. Mm-hmm. His mother and his father were good Taylor County folks. Yeah, we just appreciate you coming back on. You listen to the news, Jeff.
I appreciate being able to be here. Yeah, my dad, my mom and dad both grew up here, both went to Taylor County High. And, actually, my mom was valedictorian when she graduated, so they're wonderful people. My dad since passed away. Y'all probably knew him around town.
Yeah.
He would come and sell his farming product here in town. So I really appreciate those kind words, Commissioner.
You did good.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Did y'all take official vote of
sure.
No. Okay.
I don't vote. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
that's
all right.
Okay. I vote aye.
I think, yes.
We did that?
We did vote.
All right.
It
okay.
was approved.
Okay. The second item I have is, it's related to the Rural Area of Opportunity. The group that I staff is called the North Florida Economic Development Partnership. We're the official group that represents the REA. We're the professional staff for the Rural Area of Opportunity in North Central Florida. And Mr. Pemberton, when you get a chance to advance, I just wanted to use two slides just to touch base with you. I did a lot of digging going back to 2013. And I just want to say, and this is not meant any other words to say that we have 13 of our 14 counties have officially joined for 2018, and that's why I'm here to try to get the 14th. Mm-hmm. But I went back to 2013 and looked at the value and the benefit specific to Taylor County, because a lot of times, you know, I'm not here to talk to you about intangible benefits, which there are, but I'm here to talk to you about quantitative, because a lot of times it's all about our investment, our return on investment, and that's what the bottom line is, okay, particularly in our rural counties. So the way that the membership is determined is on an annual basis by per capita, 10 cents per capita in terms of the number of people in the county. As y'all can see, the figures, you know, it's since 2013, just based on your, and we do this by the Beaver campus at the University of Florida, that's how we do the population estimates. But y'all paid a total of $6,894 since 2013 into the organization. Again, I'd point out that those are values that we did by an hourly rate that we don't bill the county back for, but that all that value you see is actually derived out of those per capita dollars. The technical assistance, and a lot of people use that term thrown around, and when I say technical assistance, we really talk about whatever a county is in need of in terms of economic development. We're focused specifically on economic development. When I mean that, a lot of times our rural counties are short-staffed, or they really don't have people dedicated to it full-time. Y'all are blessed to have Scott Frederick here. We've worked with Scott over the years, and we've worked with various county managers over the years. But we're talking about identifying grants for maybe some of these improvements y'all talked about earlier here, I guess, with regard to the Steinhatches. That would be an example of something. We're looking at trying to bring in infrastructure dollars to increase wastewater and water capacity issues. We look at if we've got a prospect of business that's potentially looking at Taylor County to relocate, or you're one of three or four or five competitive communities looking to bring in a business, we will work directly with the state of Florida, whether it's through DEP, FDOT, Enterprise Florida, all the way up to the Executive Office of the Governor, to try to secure resources to make your site a lot more attractive. A lot of times we got raw land out there, but we don't have utilities to it. And so we're trying to secure those sites to make them more attractive for business. The other thing we will do, you got a lot of existing businesses here in town. You know, I don't know if y'all are aware, but I'll just say it anyways, about 80% of the jobs that's generated in this country, and Florida's no exception, are by existing businesses, expansions. And in our communities, that might be by 3 to 5 jobs, okay? That's a big deal. That might be 10, 20, 50. What you read about a lot, and we were directly involved, good, bad, or indifferent, we think it's a great thing with the Klausner Project in Suwannee. And that's a 350 jobs project that's looking to expand again. Here's the deal. We don't get a whole lot of those in rural Florida.
Yes.
We don't get a whole lot of those in rural. So we're into getting the jobs that might be 10 or 15 or 20 jobs that make a big difference here. The other value benefit of bringing that in is diversifying y'all's tax base. Y'all know where the mill breaks into this county. I don't have to tell that to you. That's the same story in a lot of our rural communities. So we're, when we say technical assistance, we're talking about literally sitting down with the folks that y'all designated us, or working with them via email or phone to try to find resources to bring into this. Or if we've got a problem trying to, maybe we've got a prospect that if he or she was able to get another, needs another $500 to $1 million to make that project a reality in your community, there are tools out there like industrial revenue bonds, like low interest loans, like grants that might help them have a better finance picture that they can get the loan that they need to come here. So those are just a couple of examples. The other thing, if you'll just look at the scholarships available for our commissioners, for the staff, for people that serve on maybe Economic Development Board, I think y'all have a Taylor County Development Authority that sit and work with you all. We provide scholarships to be able to attend certain events that will underwrite every bit of the expense to be down there. I know Commissioner Fegels has gone down to the Rural Economic Development Summit that we are directly involved with on an annual basis. There's a number of other conferences that Florida does. And let me just say this, because I know we've got a lot of folks here in the audience. A lot of times people hear, well, what's the value of going to those conferences? Why do we do this? Why do you go to the Florida Association of Counties and Small Counties Coalition meetings? My thing is this. If you go, if one commissioner, your staff goes, and comes back with one idea that saves you money over the long term, or makes a relationship, or builds a relationship, or meets someone that has a business that might be looking to relocate, and you do that over 5 years, and you only come back with one lead that actually turns into something, I promise you that that is going to pay for itself tenfold. Mm-hmm. If you come back and learn about a grant program that you didn't know about for whatever reason that's at the state of Florida, or something that's newly been created that's specific to rural counties, it's all about improving our knowledge and our ability to access that money, and that's kind of the things that we do. The last two things I want to point out to you, and then I'll shut up, is the 2015 Experience North Florida event that we actually hosted in Steinhatchee. This was an event where we brought in 15 national consultants. And when I say consultants, these are people that represent tens of hundreds, literally, of businesses from around the country and, frankly, in the world. We wanted to bring them in, showcase a part of North Florida that they would not want to. Trust me, when you get outside the Southeast and people hear Florida, they think of Mickey Mouse and the coast and the beaches. We've got so many assets and so many things to offer businesses. When they come to this region, it opens their eyes up. And then we're able to share a lot of things that we have that they didn't normally think about. The value, just quantitatively, and I'll be honest with you, I think that's a conservative estimate. The money that we spent personally, we raised the money privately to host this event. We had about 78. We bought the entire Steinhatchee Landings out for housing and things. We had Mr. Hunt down at Fiddler's did the catering. So we had them there for 2 days. We did kayaking and fishing with these folks to showcase this region for them. That's a conservative estimate on I believe on my part. And finally, the strategic sites inventory. What we've done for our 14 county region, and we delivered 8 reports. I know to Mr. Lakey, I believe I did that down when Senator Mumford and Senator Bradley had the event down there at Steinhatchee. We've identified and sat down with locally with Scott and some staff the ideal sites, literally the parcels that would be ideal for commercial, industrial, and logistical development in Taylor County. We're massaging that through. We have a report. I brought an example, but I think you should probably have a copy of that. But we're continuing to move through that to make sure. And here's the practical value of that. When we get a call from whether it's from Enterprise Florida or from a consultant that says, hey, we've got a business where Taylor County might be a good fit, regardless whether it's a boat manufacturer, whether it's logistics and distribution, whatever, paper mill, whatever the case may be, we need to have an inventory of sites that fit what they're looking for. Because when they call us, they say they need 150 acres, they either need rail or don't need rail, they need water and sewer capacity at this level, they need this level of electricity there, and so we need to have an inventory of sites instead of scrambling to call Ted or Scott or whoever and say, oh my gosh, have y'all got 2 or 3 sites that fit these parameters? we've got these in-house now, and we're starting to work through and try to, the other part of phase two of that is we're trying to get infrastructure dollars through. Y'all heard about the Governor's Florida Jobs Growth Grant Program. We're trying to secure infrastructure dollars for those special sites that have a great deal of potential to make them even more attractive by either road expansions, water and sewer out to them, and so forth. So that's a project that y'all are benefiting from. So, I mean, that's my conservative estimate on return on investment since 2013. I won't go into those other things underneath that I think are intangible. But the bottom line is, you can forward it, Mr. Pemberton. Thank you. That's just a snapshot of our website. Y'all have a presence on our regional website that's national and international. And we have your sites built into that website. So when a consultant goes to our website, they can go to Taylor County or any of our other 14 and look at properties and sites that we've identified. And we're always seeking to get more, because I know y'all got commercial real estate people that got things that they want to get up, and we work directly with them, and we'll load it, and it's, it doesn't cost them a dime to have that through us. Last one. This would be the financial support for 2018. That's based on, I guess, University of Florida's last population figure, y'all, is 22,570 people. That's what they're projecting, and it's 10 cents per capita. So we'd love to have y'all be a member. I think we bring great value. I know that sounds arrogant and self-serving, but I really believe that we do. And I'd like y'all to strongly consider that. The other thing I would say to y'all is I know that's not an insignificant figure for our rural counties. And what we've set up with them, most of them have paid lump sum, but we can pay that over time, over the course of the year, if that would encourage you and incentivize you to come rejoin and be a member. So I'd be glad to answer any questions you have regarding that, and thank y'all for the time to be here.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On the infrastructure funding that you just described, is that something that's in the governor's, is in the budget this year, or how does that work?
Well, there's a variety of, quote, infrastructure programs that are either federal or state in nature. One is the Community Development Block Grant Program. It has a certain amount of dollars attached to it. Those can deal with water and wastewater treatment. There's also programs through DEP. So there are different pots of money that are available for infrastructure. Now, one that you probably know the most about is the Rural Infrastructure Fund. That's dedicated specifically to rural communities, in particular counties. Now, that fund can only be used and accessed once we have a business or a prospect that has agreed to come. It's, in my opinion, and I don't know if we're audio or visual, but I'll say it anyways. In my view, that kind of goes backwards in many ways, because a lot of our rural communities need investment in the site for it to be attractive, to get somebody there. Now, I will say this, is that the new program that was created last year at the end of the legislative session called the Florida Jobs Growth Grant Program, it provided $85 million. Now, that's not specific to rural, that's statewide, in two different categories. One was infrastructure funding, and the other was in workforce development, so training. As a matter of fact, I believe your Big Bend Technical School may have gotten a grant or may be under strong consideration, let me say that. But those dollars actually do it the way I think it should be done, and that is, you've got a site, you've identified it, you said, here's going to be the value, and if we put this money and investment in this site, we are likely to get a light manufacturing company that can stand 20 to 50 to 100 jobs or whatever. So there's a range and a pot of money, and let me just recognize a colleague of mine out in the audience, Diane Scholes, and this is going to sound arrogant too, but I know this is true. There's not a person in the state of Florida that knows more about rural economic development and where those pots of money and how you access them than her, period. She's on our staff. She works directly with each and every one of our counties. We think we've been extremely successful in helping our rural counties out in this regard, and she's a tremendous asset, not only for me, but this whole region.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from anybody? What's the pleasure of the board?
I think it's a good investment. Question spending.
$2,257 versus, I think, it's not an astronomical sum, but I'd like to see us continue to be a part of this.
I concur with Mr. Page.
So I'll make it in the form of a motion.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Help us get some infrastructure dollars.
Thank y'all, and we'll do our best to make sure you get the work. You have a work well best, and that's my commitment to y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 13, the board to consider appointment of three individuals to Taylor County Development Authority, TCDA board, as requested by Scott Frederick, TCDA. Do we have ballots? Scott, you want to sign anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'd like to say, too, that these records are public. Our clerk of court keeps these, so anyone that's interested in seeing how we voted, you can see her after the meeting, or you can go by her office. It's all public record.
Now, number one is our first choice. Does that have a word?
Yes.
You're all good folks.
You sure put your name under, it says February 20th, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Put your name there. Sometimes y'all forget. Right here.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And just let me know when you're ready.
Yes, ma'am.
Item 14, under hospital items, Thomas Stone, CEO of Doctors Memorial Hospital, DMH, to appear to present quarterly financial report. Good morning.
We're actually doing the two quarters, but we have a 7 month. And that's what our CFO is going to do the presentation for y'all. And if y'all have any questions, we'll answer them. Bill Bryan and Pat Harvey, two of our board members, are present too. Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to give you an update on operations at the hospital. And y'all may remember that our year ends in May. And so this information starts June the 1st, 2017, and runs through December the 31st of 2017. First of all, I want to go through a few charts that show the statistics, the procedures that we provided to patients, and then at the end is an income statement that we can go over and show you how this affected the revenues of the hospital. First of all, this is a comparative slide that shows our inpatient days for fiscal year 17 and fiscal year 18. You can see that our total patient days in 17 was 1,413, and they dropped about 6% down to 1,327 days. We average about six inpatients each day at the hospital, and then we also provide outpatient services, and when you consider the outpatient services, it equates to about 33 patients per day in the hospital compared to 37 patients last fiscal year. In our emergency department, we have about 37 patients that go to the emergency department each day, 7 days a week of each year. And our emergency room visits are down about 2% from last year. And about 7% of the patients who come into our emergency room are ultimately admitted to the hospital as inpatients. on our outpatient registrations. This is a number of people that register in the hospital for outpatient services such as lab, x-ray, pharmacy, and so forth. This is up about 5.5%, and we're really seeing a shift of work from inpatient services to outpatient. Most hospitals are experiencing that with people staying out of the hospital and trying to get the services provided on an outpatient basis. On our surgeries, our surgeries for inpatient and outpatients, they dropped off by about 10 surgeries during the fiscal year, and this has affected our income by a decrease of about $240,000 in our surgery revenue by our surgeries, number of procedures dropping off during the year. On our scope procedures, they've also decreased about 2% from last fiscal year, and this has affected our revenue in that department by about $140,000. So as these procedures decline, then it directly affects our gross revenues. Our radiology procedures are actually fairly stable. They're only have only changed less than 1%. We had 13,739 radiology procedures, and this includes CAT scans, mammographies, MRI, nuclear medicine, and ultrasounds. So that's always pretty stable in fiscal year 18 compared to 17. On our clinics, we have four clinics, the Mayo Clinic, Steen Hatchie, the plaza right down by the hospital, and also Dr. Nelson's practice. And the visits in clinics, two of the clinics have dropped off a little bit. Our family practice clinic, the visits there have dropped off some, and also in Mayo, the patient visits there have declined a little bit. Overall, they're down about 6%, and mostly that's driven by we have lost some of the providers in the family practice clinic here in Perry, and that's primarily the reason the visits are down. The emergency medical service, we manage that for the county. The billable runs in emergency medical service are pretty similar to last year. When you look at the chart, the timing of the runs is different from last year, so it appears that it's trending upward, but it's really pretty stable. It's about the same as it was last year. The way these statistics have affected our revenues, this is a comparison for the last 3 years for the same 7 month period for the last three fiscal years. And you can, this is how much we charge patients for the services that we render. This is not how much we get paid, but what our standard charges are. And you can see at the bottom of the graph that our gross revenue in 15 was $36,618,000, and it dropped to $35,614,000 and so far this year's down by $1,139,000, down to $34,475,000. The main decrease in our revenue is on the hospital side, even though we have had reductions in home health and clinics, but most of it's on the hospital side, and more specifically in the outpatient area. And in the outpatient area, the most significant area that we have lost revenue is in our emergency room. That's kind of a two-edged sword because we have lost revenue there, but that's also the department where most of our services, the people who utilize the emergency room, do not pay for the services. So, in a way, that's not totally bad. On the next slide, this covers our operating expenses. This is a comparison for the last 3 years of our expenses. You can see in 15, our total expenses were $14,242,000. They decreased by $677,000. In fiscal year 16, that was a 5% reduction. And from 16 to 17, they've been reduced by $620,000, about a 5% reduction. Because of our revenues going down, all of our departments have worked real hard to control their operating expenses. Most of our expense reductions have come in the area of human resources, and we have decreased our full-time equivalent employees significantly over the last 3 years. course, as we decrease our employees, our employee benefit cost goes down, health insurance, social security taxes, et cetera. However, now we're approaching a point that the hospital really, the one department in our hospital that has the most staff is in our nursing department. Most other departments only have two or three people in them, so we're kind of at a minimum level at this point. And we really don't know how much more reductions we can make in human resources, because we have to have a skeleton crew just to operate the facility. So I don't really know how much further we can make reductions in that area, because that's been the most significant area that we have decreased our expenses. The way all of this comes together on our income statement, this is a 3-year comparison of our profit and loss statement. You can see that in fiscal year 15, June 15 through December 15, we lost $137,000. In 16, we lost $502,000. And so far this year, our operating or our net loss is $27,000. So we are making improvements in our operations. That's about a $475,000 improvement over last year. We're still experiencing a loss, but we have reduced that loss. One thing you can see at the top of that page, our gross revenue is $34,475,000. I said earlier, this is what we charge patients, not really what we collect. You can see on the slide right below that the line item that says contractual adjustments. This is contracts we have with the Medicare program, the Medicaid program, and Blue Cross, and other commercial insurance providers, where we've agreed to provide services to their beneficiaries at reduced rates. So we basically write off about 55% of our charges due to these contracts that we have, and we can't bill the patients that 55%. We have to absorb it. And also, you see on that slide that we had $3.8 million in bad debts and charity care. Charity care was, for this 7-month period, is $560,000. That's free services that we provided to low-income individuals that are primarily residents of Taylor County. And if they meet certain income criteria, then we provide services to them at no charge. And we also had $3.3 million in bad debts. Our bad debts primarily are related to the insurance products have increased their deductibles and co-insurance, and so the people are having problems paying these higher deductibles and co-insurance. And so our bad debts as a result are increasing because the patient's just not able to pay their share of their insurance. But we are showing a loss of $27,000, and we are controlling our costs as best we can. The hospital is doing better, but from a cash flow standpoint, we're still struggling from cash flow. We operate primarily on about 5 to 7 days of cash, so if our accounts receivable don't turn over properly, then we're really constrained from a cash standpoint. So what we need to do is we need more volume at the hospital, we need more patients so that we can generate more income with the same level of staff that we have. And of course, we'll continue looking at our operating expenses and do what we can to reduce expenses. However, there's a certain base level that we probably will not be able to reduce below that base level. Does anyone have any questions that I might have to respond to?
I got one. When you say 55% not paid, you said around 50% of the bills was not paid.
That's correct.
How's that been over the past 10-year period? Is that kind of
about the same percent?
About the same?
And that's pretty standard in the hospital industry, because the Medicare program and Medicaid programs, they do not pay based on what we charge for our services. Mm-hmm. They usually pay a flat rate that's not directly related to charges.
That the general public don't realize that, but they hear that figure. That's unreal. That many bills that don't pay.
Right.
I appreciate what y'all did.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a statement. I don't know who I need to hear this, but I'm impressed with what goes on out there. I've had the experience of a family member that my immediate family have been affected by it. I can readily say that my hat's off to them, they do a good job. Anything I can do to help, I'm willing to do.
Send us some patience.
I don't think all the hospital does for this community. I use your services whenever you can accommodate whatever my medical needs are. And I've always received that help and excellent care. When you hear these horror stories occasionally run around the community, but when you get down to the bottom line, most of them are like that. I can look at the numbers and tell if you change a $502,000 deficit down to $27,000, you're doing something right. And I agree with you, your staff is pretty lean up there. But if we're going to call ourselves a hospital, you've got to have some nurses on duty. Because you don't know tomorrow who's going to show up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you for all you do, folks. I mean, just wish your net says, whatever I can do to help, let me know.
I don't want to get sick now.
But I would say right now we're facing a challenge in the state legislature relative to Medicaid and reductions in Medicaid, and we all already get paid. We were looking at the numbers over the last 3 years that our costs are about 42, 43 cents on the dollar, and we get about 21 cents. So just in that, we're losing on average $1 million. It's costing us $1 million a year in cash. And with Medicaid managed care that's come in over the last 3 years, that's primarily where the reimbursement's changed significantly. And in the ER, they're now using a concept called a prudent layperson that says if you go to the ER and we treat you, if we determine after the fact that as a prudent buyer, prudent person, you knew that you shouldn't have gone to the ER, which not only Medicaid, but other people use the ER as their primary care, and they're denying all of that. So we're going to see probably over this next year some fairly significant loss of dollars in that. But if you are talking to our local representatives, you know, all the rural hospitals in Florida are in serious financial trouble, basically because we don't have services that have profit margins that kind of begin to offset a lot of this. Trying very hard and appreciate all your all support.
Thank you. I have a question. When you talked about the low income and that you provide services free, what kind of services is that? Is it everything? If they need a CT scan, does it include that? Or if they need surgery, does it include that?
This is normally not elective surgery.
Not elective surgery.
I mean, you go in with appendicitis?
Yes, it'll be a surgery. It can be a surgery. It can be a CT scan in which the physician gives us information that says it's the patient's at significant risk and needs to be done.
What about if they have a broken bone?
We'll probably, depending on what it is, typically they'll be seen depending on whether they need surgery or whatever. We'll have to determine that through the orthopedic group. A lot of them are referred to Tallahassee if they're coming to the ER. It's a fracture that really needs something that needs to be taken care of.
And they'll take them?
They'll take them, yeah. Mm-hmm. TMH is very good about taking our patients. We have no trouble getting those patients out. And typically most larger facilities will do that. Your problem comes in transferring to the physician. But we have they work very well, and they have such a large number of physicians that are employed that we don't have any problem generally getting any patient out. And if we don't get them out there, it's generally because it's something that they don't do, or somebody's not available at that time. And so that transfer may go to Gainesville, to Shands, or Florida, or occasionally we do transfer to Jacksonville now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about you need more patients, and if your census is only 6 a day, you know, and how many beds do we have? 48? So, I mean, that's pretty low. But one of the problems that I see is the lack of physicians. Because, you know, the truth is that people don't follow a hospital, they follow their physician. So if you don't have a physician locally, and you have a physician that's somewhere else and you need to be hospitalized, they're not going to say, oh, well, which hospital do you want to go to? So, you know, that's, and I know forever and ever and ever, you've been trying to recruit physicians. Right. I know the problem there.
Yeah, so we're still trying. We've got one we're talking to right now. Hopefully we'll maybe bringing another physician, but we're continually recruiting again. It's like everything in trying to recruit the small communities. The economic development side is very hard.
We understand that. And you still have one surgeon?
One surgeon.
And he's not going to be around forever.
No, we keep talking to him about when he thinks he's going to leave, so we have plenty of time to recruit. And we have been recruiting at different times, and it's been tough to try to find anybody. Primary care is our main focus because, again, that's where everything starts, is with the primary care physician. You know, we do have TOC has an office in the hospital, and we get a significant number of surgeries out of TOC, primarily Dr. Oversee. And he operates anywhere from 5 to 7 days a month at the hospital. And generally, when he operates, he'll do at least a minimum of 4, sometimes 7 to 8 surgeries. And two other of the TOC physicians are doing a small amount of surgery now. So, and we have eye associates. We have an office. They have, I think they're 2 days a week in the hospital and the clinic, and they do surgery 2 to 3 times a month. Of course, as you all know from healthcare, eye surgeries don't make you much. You're lucky to break even on the eye surgery, but it does help to cover some fixed costs by having the surgery procedures done.
Well, I do understand what a hard job you all have. I understand, and we do support y'all. We need our hospital, so thank you for what you do.
Yeah, and we're part of what you need in the community for economic development.
Exactly.
We appreciate that support.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, this voting, I'm giving this back to y'all. And I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about in just a second. There are 4 applicants. I'm supposed to vote for all 4. And look at your ballot, and then if I need to explain further, I don't think I do. So go ahead and make sure you vote.
Vote for all 4.
For all 4. Gotcha. And then I'll do the higher math and tell you what I'll get. Thank y'all.
Sorry. Okay, we'll move along to, we've already done 15, it was moved to 10A. And then we'll go to county staff items number 16. The board to consider approval of draft resolution endorsing Florida Department of Transportation FDOT delivery of bridge replacements as agenda by Hank Evans, Public Works Director. Hank, you want to say anything?
Yeah.
Kenneth?
Yes, and these should be their agreements that because the bridge is being funded through federal dollars. The DOT is requiring that we add language to it that says if we, leaving the county, were to make a request to DOT to include some scope of work item that is outside what is deemed to be a federally recoverable fund, then that scope of work would only be approved if we also approved the funds associated with doing that. So they're covering themselves here that if we do something outside of their federal terms, then it's on our part. And you're going to see this on all of the bridge resolutions and agreements going forward. There's 2 that you have on the next meeting.
Okay. Do you foresee anything like that coming up?
No, ma'am. you know, it really have to be kind of outside the box. They make reference to mowing and litter pickup, and I kind of jested back to them and said I certainly hope they would pick up their own trash and mow the grass before they leave. So there's nothing that is going to be outside of the general safety infrastructure that you can think of. But I could.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to ask the attorney to read the first whereas on the resolution. Doesn't really have a title.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Just deep in the document.
Second.
Just deep in the figure.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to read by title only. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We're just going to keep you busy today.
Well, it doesn't have a title.
But just read us something.
I'm going to read you the first paragraph, okay?
All right.
Whereas the Board of County Commissioners have been informed that a resolution should be passed authorizing the Chair of the Board of County Commissioners to endorse the Florida Department of Transportation Local Agency Program Off-System Project Delivery for bridge replacements at County Road 361 over Clearwater Creek, Clearwater 361B over Rocky Creek, and County Road 361 over Spring Warrior Creek.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
Move to adopt the resolution.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 17, the board to consider approval of contract with Emerald Coast Striping, LLC, for county road striping as adjudicated by the Public Works Director.
Motion to approve the contract.
Second. A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. General Business 18, the board to discuss the future space needs of the county extension program as agenda by Chairman Fee. I'm just going to start out with a little background. When I was elected in 2010, I took on a project to renovate Forest Capitol Hall, and we formed a committee, and the committee went to work trying to secure funds and put a vision together for the Forest Capitol Hall. And since that time, we've made a lot of improvements out there. If you've been out, you see how nice the seats are, and a lot of stuff that we did, you can't see. Our vision is still there. We still have a lot of things that we would like to do, and we continue working toward that. Our 4-H program and our extension program, they're very, very valuable to us. I know that we use the 4-H program. It is a lot of participation, and even with the extension, and a lot of benefits come to our children and our community through these programs. And I support them 100%, and the staff, y'all do a wonderful job out there. But part of the vision for the Forest Capitol Hall is to make it a welcome center, a business center, where it would house the chamber and the TCDA and the TDC. And as it is now, there's times out there that it's quite crowded. When you have all the children, we have the after-school program, we have all the summer program, we have a lot of things going on out there, which is good. It becomes very crowded, so we wanted to suggest that we start looking for funding opportunities to add another separate building out there somewhere on the grounds that would house the extension, Pender County Extension and 4-H. Keep it out there. I think that's what staff had wanted when we started talking about this. We've got to look for the future. The programs are growing. I expect that the after-school program will continue to grow, as well as the summer programs, and I think for the future space needs that we need to start thinking about a larger facility for these, for 4-H and our extension. And of course, you've got the master gardeners, and you've got several programs out there. So that's our recommendation to the board. Anybody want to come speak?
I'd like to say one thing before we comment from the public. It would be beautiful to have a nice building out on the west end of the property there where you could put on all kind of different programs and have plenty of room for the 4-H and any other thing. We've had circuses that wanted to come and get inside our building, but we've got the building fixed up now to the point we really couldn't have a circus in there. If, you know, they could ruin the floor one thing or another. But we really need a nice outbuilding, and I'm all in favor of it. And I think we can come up with some funding. I feel like there's grants out there and programs that will work with us, and I'm all for that.
Thank you, Commissioner
Mundy.
Commissioner Page?
I spearheaded a movement several years ago to identify a site to build an ag center for Taylor County. You know, we've got a new FFA program that's been implemented. Lots of counties around our size have a very nice agricultural center. But it died for, I think, lack of support from the majority of the board. And I'm not wed to this ag extension separate facility. Having to be at the Forest Capitol Hall site, and I would like to get some input from extension about where they thought. We had talked about, back in those times, putting it behind Dr. Momo Hospital. I'm not saying that's an ideal site for it, but I support whatever we have to do to take care of the needs of extension, and we can build a standalone facility if there's enough room at Forest Capitol site, or we can try to find another property.
Thank you.
They do a wonderful job, and I don't want to upset the
outcome. No, sure not.
You know, I look like there's an arena and all about this. Mm-hmm. How much land do we have back there that we can build a standalone site to?
I don't know how many acres. Do you happen to know, Kevin?
Not off the top of my head. I can see it, but I can't. I don't know what the acreage is.
28, but I'll just make a note.
That sounds good.
Okay. There's plenty
of
room there for a
night.
Okay, yeah.
Just now, they've got a lot about the school board on right across the street by some portable buildings and a water tank. I don't know if that's adequate. It's adequate for a pretty good size building. Just across the street.
Right behind the garden club building there, there's plenty of
room. Well, behind the garden club on there, where they're right.
Other areas have got real nice ag buildings like that.
Yeah,
they do. And they really do. They put on a lot of programs there, and it brings a lot of people into the county and brings a lot of revenue into the county.
That's right.
So we really need that.
I support a good ag extension program. I support it. But before we do a whole lot of moving, I'd like to get those people involved so we won't have to lick this same cow over again in the next 2 years or the next 3 years.
Exactly.
Okay.
Maybe I have a conversation. So if you're envisioning...
Do you mind to come up here?
No. We're envisioning a separate facility for 4-H and County Extension. What would be the remaining use for the facility that we're leaving behind?
The Forest Capitol Hall?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the vision is to move the chamber, the TDC, TCBA, and to have that as a welcome center, a cultural center. We want to bring in different kind of venues in terms of entertainment and in terms of shows, like trade shows, things like that.
So outside of the perception that you may need additional office space to house the people that you were suggesting, the TCDA, or this being suggested, the TCDA and the chamber folks, there would there really be a downside to co-location if you had additional office space at that same building versus a separate facility?
The only thing I could say we're putting more there would be the parking would be the issue. We got, you know, the parking issue turns into, when we got a crowd out there, turns into the thing right there by that building, you know.
Right, and I do think that, you know, the vision that we generally see when we see those problems is Forest Festival or, you know, boat ramp during college season, things like that, is when you see those, not the day-to-day type atmosphere. And there's not to say that you can't accommodate some additional parking. We have rights of ways on both sides of that facility,
right,
as well as, you know, a dying number of trees that, you know, may open additional spaces for parking out there. I just would say that in small county government, when we just up and leave these facilities behind, there's a benefit to that facility now. 4-H has made a fantastic use of it for many, many years. It seems that if we're at our aspirations is to make use of the mainly the lobby area type stuff for the welcome center and the foyer, and then bring in additional office space, that it would be maybe a better bang for the buck if you co-located versus, all right, let's just jump ship and go somewhere else because of the facilities that you have there on that campus already.
Exactly, and I know where you're going because we've talked about this. What he's talking about is building an addition onto it that would have an office space for these other entities that I spoke about. But you still have the big auditorium common area that is used by many, many children. A lot, and when you are having other things, say for instance you've got prospective investors and people coming in, we just felt like that it would be better if you just put like something kind of like the Boys and Girls Club have and keep it there, because from what the staff told us, they really liked being out there. I don't really care if it's out there or where it is. I mean, but if that's what they like, that's certainly okay with me. So that's the thinking, is to just put them in a separate building. And it won't be abandoned. We're not going to leave it behind and abandon it. We feel like that.
No, and I wasn't trying to insinuate that strong of a terminology, but what I was suggesting is that there's infrastructure there now that's used in the 4-H program that may not necessarily be something that the TCDA or the Chamber of Commerce would find a need for. So if you could accommodate that additional office space and conference room type needs of the people that you'd like to, that would be considered for co-location, some shifting around and some isolations, you know, may achieve the same result versus separate additional facilities that we will have to maintain and keep up.
Well, that's certainly something I think that the board should be involved in that sort of decision and know exactly what we're talking about, you know, what it would be, this is what it would be like versus if we put it over here, and what would be the cost differential by the time you add on, then by the time you add on a space large enough for a basketball court, you know, is that really going to save any money? And, you know, I'm all about saving money for the county if we can, but I certainly want to look for the future too, of our future needs, because if we're going to invest in something like this, let's make sure that we do it right the first time, thinking 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, when we're not here, but we'll still have our children and we'll still have community involvement in these wonderful, beneficial programs. Thank you for your input. Anybody else? Yes.
You know the rule.
I'm calling out the chamber. I encourage the expansion of the 4-H. We probably got more than what, a couple hundred kids picked up in Madison at that ag center. The livestock show, that's a big thing. And we just farmed here. I'm in Farm Bureau before. We got FFA going. It's real good. It's been real good, but I'd encourage you to take the vinyl off and look everywhere and look 20 years down the road.
Right.
And I don't like the idea they moving stuff out of town out there. We need to be north up for God's country.
Oh, good.
You got the land behind the hospital, and it's good. Got good access to your room. And if you go out there, at some point, it's going to get too crowded, you know, with the Forest Festival and all that. I'd encourage you to take the diamonds off and look at all the options. Exactly. But I would very much support the expansion of a place for 4-H and FFA and all that. But anyway.
And thank you. And that's the whole point here is not to make a decision today as where we're going to put something, but just the concept. Do we have support and agreement that looking like Ollie said, looking to the future for this program, is everybody would agree is so vital to our community. You know, 20 years from now, 30. What is the best scenario? Is it out there where you would have more parking that you talk about? And so that's what we're here, not to make a concrete decision, but just know that this is the direction that we want to go, and then we can put the specifics to it and then start trying to figure out where we're going to have funding, where we're going to get funding from. It'll probably take a while. It's not something that's going to happen this year, of course, but at least we have something to work toward. Yes, ma'am.
Diane Whitfield, 6740 A. Whitfield Lane, 32348. I have been involved with 4-H since 1990 or a little ahead, and I worked enough hours that I earned a nomination for a 4-H Volunteer of the Year, which was a great privilege. I used to tell people I bleed green, that's the way you say it. I've been involved through the peanut hay and the shiitake workshops and the now Clay is working on citrus. I am surprised at the scheduling of this. I want to say first that there are no, except for the very capable Lord Riggins, I don't see the director or Amy McMullen or Victor Blanco, the other staff here. Usually your staff is here for discussion. So I am surprised at that. Your staff isn't here for a beginning discussion. You mentioned in 2010 a committee was formed. I remember when that was formed. I had wanted to be on that committee at some point and had input. But between 2010 and 2018, as a regular volunteer, I have not heard the vision. I have not, at our regular meetings of the Extension Advisory Committee, of which I am a member, I have not been presented with this, whether that's Clay who forgot it or didn't mention it, or whether the committee itself did not come to the advisory board for 4-H or Extension and say, this is what we envision for where you are working with the children every week, every month, or every day, as the after school committee group goes. I haven't heard that. Now today I will say that everything you do, I feel privileged to be here, because I have jotted down the data collection of the RAO to get small amount of funds. The FWC had to go by legislative and rules and data to get something passed here. Dana Sutherland brought something that was required by law, and then the hospital brought a chart. I don't see any data from this committee, from you as the chair, or as whomever from the committee, your data on the usage. You mentioned hundreds of kids, but what are the needs? Did the 4-H Extension, all those people, did they tell you what we need? Here's what we vision for the future. Have you asked them to vision their needs? I don't know. So I don't see the data about the space for the children, the master gardeners, any of the reef committee things, all of that. I'd like to see data. And then you mentioned the chamber and a visitor center. I would love to see Perry have a visitor center. I see empty buildings along 19 that could be refurbished. I think you're refurbishing something for Dana, and that's working. And I think, wow, there's a big building on 19 across from Main Street, just as you come into town. Wouldn't that make a great visitor center? So I'd like to see the data on the needs there that you've accompanied to go along with your vision. So before I would encourage my commissioner or the commissioner for the other properties we own in Taylor County. We have some down by the beach that might be in France, so I'm a constituent of that person. We own land in town. I'd like to have another commissioner there. Maybe it's you. I don't know who my commissioner in town is. But I'd like to see the data on what a visitor center, the traffic you think you'd get, the economic benefit to the community, which I know you can get from your folks at UTCDA, how many people they're missing by not having a location like that, you know, and then the daily use. How many festivals every day? I hear you mention, you know, we've got a festival, we've got other festivals, but then we have a daily use. Let's compare them. Let's look at the use. So that's what I would like as a citizen, and I hope you think about that before you support it. Now, the last thing I want to say is the idea of an ag center, that's super. As a longtime volunteer, and I travel to other counties, I go to workshops, rather than tag on an addition, you know, I remember moving out in Forest Capitol Hall. When we moved out there, we were excited to have a space where you could do animals and receive your pigs or have your horses or talk about cows or have your gardening things there. That was great. And the kids could be outdoors. And, of course, now we don't want to plug into a computer all day. We want outdoors and playing in that kind of area. So do an ag center. Do some planning. Get these needs assessments. Put into the University of Florida. They don't have a representative here, and they fund that office. You know, they started it. And Florida A&M, a land-grant university. So let's have some input from those folks as to what they vision for the future. And as a citizen, I support you in those efforts to do a nice ag center. That's a future vision.
Amen.
If you're talking about the kids. Now, if you're talking about the TCDA and the chamber and a welcome center, that's a whole other set of business information that we don't have in front of us. And that's my citizen's opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Laura?
I mean, I don't mind coming. I wasn't prepared to come to speak. I can tell you we have said, I mean, we haven't really been involved in this whole process. This is one of those things that we've been, you know, we see there's, it's on here, a future space needs for the county extension program. But I've attended one of the meetings on behalf of Clay. Clay's the representative from our office. And I haven't been asked, you know, I've had a conversation with the chairman a little bit on building of what our needs are and maybe what our future is, but we haven't really all sat down at the table with all of our staff, volunteers, advisory committee members to see really what our needs are. I'm happy where I'm at, but I can work anywhere. And just to kind of clarify, 4-H is extension, and a lot of times people say 4-H and extension. 4-H is the youth development component of extension. So 4-H is not a separate department or a separate component of extension. So anything that's youth-led in extension is 4-H. So whether it's a marine program, a nutrition program that I lead, all of that falls under 4-H. But we have 7 full-time staff, 2 part-time staff that are 12 months, 2 part-time after-school staff that are 10 months, and then about 5 part-time to full-time staff that work our summer programs. So that's actually staffing. And a lot of our salaries do come from the University of Florida, but we're split appointments. The majority of our staff, we work for the University of Florida and the county, so we report to both as well. But the only reason I'm not a representative here is the other ones had other commitments. Whenever we saw that it was moved to this meeting, they all have other commitments and other, we have a livestock show going on this week. Clay's leading the citrus workshop. Victor's leading a marine workshop. So I was the only one who could represent our office at this time. Or they would have been happy to have been here if they would have known ahead of time. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but I don't really have a formal presentation just because we were not asked to present a formal presentation at this time.
You have been to the ag center.
I have too,
and that is usually that is a real good experience.
It really is. The ag centers primarily host a lot of livestock shows. Our community, we do not have a livestock association, so I've been working with Extension almost 21 years now, and we've always partnered with the North Florida Livestock Show and Sale in Madison. So, because we do not have a livestock, we do not have a lot of livestock within our community. And we don't have a history of showing here. So we partnered there just because it's been a good fit. There's about 200 kids showing animals there. We have 25 representatives of 4-H, one of representative from the new FFA. So you look at 26 kids, we could not host our own livestock show here currently. And they're pulling from other surrounding counties. They're pulling from Lafayette, Jefferson, Gadsden, Gilchrist, Madison, all from Madison. So you have to look at that. Could we support that? So that's the thing. There's a lot of those to look at, like even horse shows. I was a 4-H agent for 15 years, and we hosted horse shows regularly. But we did not have as large of a horse program. Now, it is building back up, but to actually bring in other horse shows and things, we don't have stables out there. So we looked at portable stalls to bring in. There's a lot of different, we didn't go to that next level of the grant. That first grant that was done did not include stalls. So we stopped at what we have. So it's hard to bring in a lot of outside because you don't have places to store their animals. There's just a lot of logistics. But I think a livestock pavilion would be wonderful. We just would need to look at, could we support it financially and be able to bring in other things to support it and for there to be a use for it? Or is it, now that Madison has built a new facility, is that accommodating us?
Well, there's a lot of other local groups that can use that
other
facility.
Yes. I agree.
There's always a shortage for a big open facility.
Yes, that's right.
Travis County, especially with parking and security of that place.
Are you opposed to locating the extension facility away from the Forest Capital site?
I can work anywhere. I mean, I personally can't. I want it to be accommodating for all of the programs that we currently have and not have to limit according to our space. Because we can work around whatever space we have. Previously, prior to myself starting, we were in the courthouse. Debbie Humphreys was Family Consumer Sciences agent and 4-H agent, and she had very little 4-H programming because of the space needs. Amy McMullen, when she was brought on as the 4-H agent, she ran day camps from the city park because she did not have, there was lots of complaints, and I can still talk to her today, about kids running up and down within the courthouse, going up and down, elevator and just running around. So it did not fit their needs, but they had to do their programming to accommodate the space they had. And that's what we would have to do. So wherever we're at, we can work in a room this size, all of us. But we're not opposed to other people joining and coming on board and us staying out there and extending. I mean, I just think there would need to be talks with all the staff because everybody has a different vision, but we're not opposed to leaving as long as the facility needs to accommodate our current programming and hopefully expansion of it.
I appreciate y'all's willingness to work anywhere.
We just
don't sound like to me that mattered to y'all. We can work out anything. And as you said, when it was in the courthouse, and I remember that, and it was very limiting being in the courthouse, and when it was moved out, you see how the program grew, it expanded, look how wonderful it is now. And I think it's part of our job to look to the future because we would like growth, we'd like that after school program to be larger. And so I just think it's our responsibility to have an open mind for the future of Taylor County and to do what we can to enhance such a important program. Not trying to push anybody out or make you do anything you don't want to do or anything like that. I think the goal is to make it better for our children and make it better for Taylor County and everybody else. That's all we're talking about. And certainly we want to work with y'all. We've told you that before. I think Mr. Leahy asked y'all to come up with some space needs.
And Clay,
you received that yet?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Clay, so does have that. Try to involve y'all? Right.
I guess our thing was if we need to come up with space needs, in which Clay does have that information because he has actually the expansion that was already created years ago when there was no funding for it. I think it was the one that Kenneth, we were referring to, that drawing. So we do have, but I guess our question would be, if that part is, we have the space we need. So if we're needing, if you're asking, do we want a new facility, or what size do we need to accommodate what we have now, or to replace what we have now? I mean, we could come out of his, you're wanting a drawing, or exactly, I think that would just need to be clarified with the county
Yeah, I think we would like y'all to have the same open mind that this is such an important program that for the future of Taylor County, you would certainly like to see it be expanded. And how do we go about doing that? What, you know, you got to think ahead of time, you know, for the future. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so that would be just something that I would say that the board would need to give the county extension director, and I give him a specific instruction on exactly what you're wanting.
Right, and I don't think that whoever drew up the space needs from 10 or 15 years ago may not be applicable today, because mm-hmm. the program, from my understanding, has grown over the years. So, and if you look at how it's grown, you can kind of predict somewhat how it will grow in the future. So, but if y'all flat out don't want anything, you don't want your program to grow, you don't want a new place, tell us.
Right. Well, I think it's
want to hear that. Did you say that?
Yeah, no. I mean, and programs are going to ebb and flow anyway, no matter where you're at. I think that I would like for all of our office staff to be part of the discussion with whoever's going to be,
certainly
part of it. Just because my vision could be different from the county extension director's vision, you know, and all of our program areas are so different. So I think to have everybody involved would be wonderful.
Exactly. We'd like for that to be. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Sure.
We're dancing around a great big elephant in the room. And we have one building, Parks Capitol Hall. We've got a visioning group who has one vision. You have 4-H that has their extension, has their activities, National Gardeners activities, and they're not always compatible. And we're dancing around the whole block. And one way to do that would be to separate. Have extensions placed square, and then use the Parks Capitol Hall to do these events, and it's a welcome center and the whole bit. But I am not for kicking extension out of 4-H or giving them a lean-to on the backside now. If we can look 15 years ahead of the time, build something like you've got in Jackson County, Calhoun County, and build a building big enough. If we want to have an affair, kids want to take their courses, whatever. So that's my biggest thing. We're dodging the big question.
I concur with you, Commissioner Page.
I agree with you too. That building, a big enough building, that center can be used for a lot of community time, not just.
Why don't you put us a truck pool in there?
Sure. Okay, can I suggest this? That we have a special workshop just for this. And make sure ahead of time that all the staff has their calendar clear so they
Good
can
idea.
All be there. All the commissioners can be there.
Yes.
And then let's get together and they can be coming up with their ideas of how we would put this together. And let's work together on it and see what we can come up with. We want to work with you, not against you. You know, we really appreciate y'all's dedication and everything that you do out there. I have two little children now, and it's very important to me. So we'll work together on it.
Ma'am, we've got a lot of property right here at the airport that's not being utilized at all, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, we just got a lot of possibilities right there.
Well,
in walking distance.
Right.
When we do our workshop, then we can, and one of the things, we'll discuss location, we'll discuss needs, we'll discuss wants, we'll discuss funding resources, just the whole nine yards, and we want to look for, you know, be thinking about 10, 15, 20 years from now, because
future growth.
Exactly. So, anyway, let's just
get together. Yeah, we might become a little citizen of the state.
Yeah.
Some possibilities.
Okay.
I call if you'll come to the podium.
I thought of one other thing about 4-H and co-locating things during the day rather than just as events happen. You all made us volunteer, or not you, the University of Florida, we had to go through a lot of certification, fingerprints and background checks and things to be able to work with your children. And I didn't mind that because of that. I have children and I'm glad we had to do that. I read too much and see too much in the paper about that nice person who wasn't. So do keep in mind that with the children on the grounds after school, or the homeschoolers come there and use that facility a whole lot, they're another group that's not represented, a large group, a lot of them are in Madison. They can't be around adults. Really, we can't have a lot of adults around them who are not fingerprinted or certified at the same time. You know, the prisoners can't even work to clear up when they need to.
We're so know that.
So I just wanted to say, and it sounds like you're beginning the data collection that I'm all about now that I've learned about data. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have anything, any input? If not, do you have our tally ready?
Yes, ma'am. The new members of the TCDA are Matthew Echo, Marvin Brooks, and Ollie Rappaport.
Okay, did y'all hear that? Matt Echo, Marvin Brooks, and Ollie Rowell are our new TCDA members. Congratulations.
We need a motion and a second to appoint.
Motion to appoint. Second.
And we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, number 19, the board to discuss trash along Highway 221 as agendaed by Chairman Fiegel.
Madam Chair, can we just add trash everywhere?
Yes, we can. But this particular road, I get calls very frequently, and I go out that way, of course it's my district, and there's trash, lots of trash, on both sides of the road, all the way to the Madison County line. And so I called, or I emailed Ted Mwanda, I called DOT, and some of the residents called DOT, and DOT told me a week or two ago that they have a trash pickup schedule, and that's on the schedule. However, when they pick it up, within 2 to 3 days, it's back the way it was. I watch it, I see. It's hard for me to believe that many motorists on that particular road in 2 to 3 days can throw out that much trash. And a lot of the residents out there have talked to me about it, and were wondering if trash is blowing off of the garbage trucks. And I know that they say they're covered, and I'm not sure if they're tightly covered or whatever, but that trash, it's hard for me to believe that motors throw out that much stuff. So there are other roads. We've got plenty of problems, especially where there's a roll-off. The road going to any roll-off is bad, too. So we know where that's coming from. That's coming out of the back of the truck, too. So I don't really know what the answer is, except we need some way of trying to identify where this is coming from. Now, I know that we have garbage trucks, the county, the city has garbage trucks. Dixie County, I believe, comes through here, but you'd think that a truck coming from Dixie County, it would have blown off way down there, not until they got to 221 for it to blow off.
Yeah.
I kind of discount that it may be Dixie County, but locally, I think we need to try to identify. We need suggestions how we're going to go about that and fix this problem. I get tired of all this. I don't like to look at the trash either.
Yes.
I may have maybe in one of maybe Malcolm can chime in here. The landfill, would they be helpful in identifying those trucks that are coming over their skills that may not be properly tarped?
Yes, we can take care of that.
Can I ask them to do that?
I'll make a call after this meeting. Identify trucks that go through Taylor County that come in here without a park on.
Yeah, or any local or anything.
Well, yeah, anybody.
because the trash has come from Dixie, I guess, the city, a lot of different.
Now, I was there on Route 21. There's more trash from the city limits up to the truck route than there is north of the truck route. All garbage trucks from Cross City, they got to follow the truck route. So they don't come through downtown Perry with that. I just doubt that the garbage truck through the culvert here. It's just, you know, it's just folks throwing new trash out. They blow out of the back of the pickup truck. But the worst trash I've seen anywhere, and I go down 221 every day, is on Harrison Blue and Woods Creek Road, and they go to the Harrison Blue dump. And they blow it out of. You have mattresses in the ditch, and spring wire, and I don't know. All variety of stuff. You name it, we got it. Talk about community service for a little bit. I've had my mind thinking about that we can get some cooperation and have a community service where you got, you, the judge's got to tell these folks you got to go pick up trash on a Saturday. And then Ted and I talked a little bit about, well, you got to have a supervisor and you got to have a trailer and you got to, and then the clerk reminded me there's a great cost involved because we've had to purchase work in the summer on all these folks that volunteer to do community service. So I don't know what the answer is, but it's, I get calls all the time about trash on the roof. And on the beach road, it's about as bad. Mm-hmm. So, in the Woods Creek Road, it's bad down there unless we just pick it up.
Something has changed. Yeah. There's been a noticeable difference in, say, the last 3-4 months of trash on the sides of the roads that didn't seem to exist before that time. Right. Something is different.
Something's different.
And I would say instead of...
It could be that we have less inmate labor out there doing fewer pickups.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know how in the world you could practically agree that there's that many people pitching stuff out of their window. That just doesn't make sense. It has to be coming out of the back of vehicles. And if that's the case, there's a Florida litter law under, it's either 403, 413 or something, up to so many cubic yards, it's a $100 fine. There's no reason our law enforcement, with the assistance of law enforcement, seems like that we could obtain the information of whose refuse it is. Give them a warning the first time, stop the second time.
Just recently, on 98, on three occasions, the whole bag of garbage came out and went all over the road. Make notes, it's on the sides of the roads everywhere.
I would just think that a sidebar from our file on the front page of that paper once or twice, the list of people being cited for trash pool items, somebody's going to start putting a lid on their trash can. So
I don't want to steal the woman's thunder, but she had some great ideas that she shared with me the other day about garbage pickup. You mind sharing with everybody?
Sure. We reached out to Don Taylor because we remembered about the Keep Taylor County Beautiful program.
Right.
And she said that she would check with the grants administrator to see if we could utilize that program to engage community service, people who need community service hours to pick up trash. Maybe once a week or whatever. And we also discussed resurrecting the Adopt a Highway program. Mm-hmm. That might be an option for 221. And these are programs that we've had in the past that aren't active right now. So we're discussing with her maybe that option and thought that might be a possible solution. I also work with the jail on a almost a daily basis to ask them to dispatch inmate crews to pick up trash. And then we have our own pay squad who I, when they have even a few hours, they will pick up trash. Now we are down probably 2 free squads that we used to have. So it makes it a little more difficult to pick up as much as we would like, but we just try to tap into every resource we can.
Okay. I think that's all great. That's really good ideas, and it gets it picked up. But we need to go back to the root cause.
How does it get out there and start?
Yeah, how does it get out there, and how do we? We'll never fix it 100%. But how do we get a handle on it to get it where it's not quite so bad? That's in addition to what you said. You know, it is embarrassing when you ride down these roads and you have all that trash in our county. And we have beautiful lands around here, out in 98 and all over. We've got beautiful natural woodlands, and it just breaks my heart to see all the trash. And we really need to get a handle on it. How do we fix it somewhat? And then, you know, those ideas are good. I did talk with the sheriff, and we were talking about the community service thing, and he said, yeah, any way that my department can help, you know, he said, I'll be very, you know, willing to help. So haven't talked to the judge lately, but at one time I think the judge would, you know, I think he was interested. So I think we need to, you know, again, Commissioner Moody, we can sit here and talk about this today. We can talk about it next year and the year after.
If the people agree, we need to go ahead, talk to the sheriff again, talk to the judge, and then advertise that it's a people issue. When somebody buys a sack of corn at Rocky, they go down in Three Rivers, spread the corn out, and then they come back up the road and the sack's laying in the ditch because it blows out of the back of their truck. Yeah. I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see them blow up in the truck. And Wayne had told me, he said, if you have a big bag of trash that fell out of somebody's truck, like Miss Hannah was talking about, and he can get a name out of it, he can make a case out of it. He said, you know, they can't say that if there was a prescription bottle in it or something, mm-hmm. you know, he said, it comes from them, you know. And Wayne's willing to help us with it. He told me that. All we need to do is just all of us get our ducks in a row and get together. You go down Puckett Road right now. I'm not talking about these people heading to the dump blowing out. Slap them on electronics, it's just a mess. You got TVs in the ditches, mattresses in the ditches. I mean, it's a real mess. It's a people issue. I was amazed, I went to Missouri this year on a little trip, and up there in the country, like Puckett Road, there's not even a beer bottle in the ditch. There's not a beer can. There's not a McDonald's cup. There's people coming and going. I said, well, there's not many. I said, no, there's a bunch of people up there. They're coming, farmers coming and going everywhere. Tractors and trucks and pickups and the people, it's a people, it's I don't know what it is, but it's a people issue.
Mm-hmm. That's a community pride thing. I've got neighbors to get out. He takes 3 hours and gets out and picks up trash on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
We need some kind of PR thing in the paper somewhere just to take pride in our community. That's what Don does. But you go, you don't see it in Madison County. You go over and
look. That's right.
You come in there and
get it. Paid.
You all agree with that? It's a community pride. You can't. Law enforcement, that you got to have
we do need that PR. Can we invite? I'd like to invite the judge to come to our next meeting, whether it's a workshop or a meeting or whatever, and let's ask him what can he do to help us. And I'd like to know, maybe Mr. Mitchell, you know this, that if the people that are sentenced to community service, could you up their fine to help pay for the guard that we'll have and all the expenses? Or is that a state mandate how much they have to pay?
No, but I've got an idea.
Okay.
They probably, some folks are not going to like it. It's a surveillance issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a lot of traveling throughout our circuit, you know, and you see the road patrol, highway patrol out there, sitting behind a pine tree wanting to catch somebody speeding. See, I don't want them to catch me, so I try to go to speed limit because they love to give me a ticket. But if in fact they would surveil and stop a person or a truck that you can see the stuff coming out and give them a ticket for littering, which there is a statute on it, instead of being so busy, let that go by, but get the speeder, you see. Mm-hmm. So it's a surveillance issue. You know, you can talk about picking up all you want to, but again, if people are still letting it out, then 2 days later, like Commissioner Fiegel is talking about, I mean, we've got, I mean, on your way to Tallahassee, how many times do you see highway patrol sitting on the side of the road wanting to catch somebody speeding, which they're supposed to do, that's their job, but they're also to enforce all the laws of the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. It's a practical matter. Mm-hmm. And I go west a lot of times, and like you say, you'll go through one county and it's clean, and then you go through another county, then it's not. You know, like on I-10, if you go I-10 or if you go, up 19 or 27, I think it's a surveillance issue, because I can remember as a child when they first came out with the littering signs, and I said this before, and I think it was up to a $100 fine or a $1,000 fine or something like that. I can remember my parents saying, don't you throw anything out of the car, you know, because that we're not going to pay that fine. And that's how it started. You know, I think it's a surveillance issue.
Well, how do we go about? Who do we need to get in touch with the Highway Patrol to solicit them to implement what you're talking about?
You get what you do is, and everything is done complaint. You know, if you call the head of the Highway Patrol, and the first question that I would ask the head of the Highway Patrol is, are you familiar with the littering laws of the state of Florida? Well, he or she is going to, I think the person is a man, so I'm not going to be gender biased, but I'm sure that person would say yes. Okay, we have a problem in Taylor County of a lot of littering. Are your officers instructed to stop somebody from littering? I'd like to know the answer to that question. And then if he or she would say no, we'll say, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, say, and we need y'all to do that. And then if they don't, you know, if you don't get a good response, then, of course, the governor, that's who you go to.
Okay. So, Mr. Leakey, could you, on behalf of this board, if it's okay with this board, to speak with this person and tell him your the situation that we have and see what he can do. So that's one thing, surveillance, and we may have to do some surveillance on our own. We need, like Ollie said, the PR. We need to really start, I mean, it could go into schools and wherever else to teach people not to do that. And then Commissioner Page is going to check up there with the landfill about trucks, wherever they're from, I don't care where they're from, if they're coming in and they're not adequately covered. So, yes, ma'am.
I think that probably one of the biggest problems with us is insurance. Back several years ago, I don't think any of y'all were on the board, that workman's comp insurance was so high. Did you benefit from it? Plus, you got, if you send somebody out there to do community service, somebody's got to be watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because not long ago, somebody called my office and reported that there was three people that was sent to Forest Captain Hall to do community service, and they sit on a bench and stop and ask them what they were doing. They said they were supposed to be doing community service. So you've got to have somebody to supervise
it.
And you got to make sure you got liability insurance, because back before Mr. Leakey came, a county probationer was sent to do some community service work, and the first thing you do is fell off the ladder. We had to pay a fine. You don't have workman's comp to cover. Now, if they are doing community service for the state probation office, the state of Florida covers workman's comp for them. But you want to know how much your liability insurance is going to be to put them out there on the road where you've got people flying up down the road, plus the workman's comp to cover those people.
Plus, you probably have to have a vehicle because you need trash receptacles on it. So, I mean, there's several.
There's a lot of expense there.
There is.
Don Taylor's going to tap into some funds that take care of this. Well, no,
just want to make sure that if you're using the county probationers to do it, that you got them covered on insurance.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't, you're in trouble. Comrade Chief, that.
Well, if whatever, whoever we need to talk to, whether it's the judge and the probation officer or whoever, to start seriously trying to implement this. We've talked about this ever since I've been here, and I know since you've been here, Commissioner Moody. It's just one of those things that we talk about, we identify the problem, and then 6 months or a year, we talk about it again, so.
I think some of the counties, what they do, is they have a crew like on Saturday, and they tell them to report somewhere for community service, and they order them to pay a fee at that time to help cover with their insurance while they're on that detail.
Right.
But you gotta know about how many you might use, how much, and the insurance is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And you may want to look into that for you, because the judge, they order that community service work, whether they do it or not, if you don't have somebody supervising, they're not going to do it.
Well, can you help us with this?
I'll call the workman's comp and the general liability see.
But I don't know how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, help us get this underway, if it's possible. I'd sure like to
see. But then you're going to have that supervisor, and you're going to have a trailer and a vehicle to put all that trash on and pick up. There's a lot of expense that Hank probably can give you some estimate if he run a truck for trash on Saturday, and how many people he had that he could put in that van to do that trash pickup. Pick up a lot of trash, but are you willing to go to that expense?
Well, if we can, offset the expense in some way, whether the people that are sentenced pay part of it, and I think they do, you're right, they do that in other counties, and just see with Don Taylor trying to get some of this grant money, whatever we can do to implement this. It's a shame that people are given community service, and they go sit under an oak tree or a pine tree in the shade all day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not punishment, so.
I like it.
Say again?
Have you asked other counties what they do? Have you talked to the Madison County Administrator or the County Commission?
Well, I know what they're doing then.
Yeah, I see them on that flash, Saturday or Sunday.
It is.
Yeah, it's approved picking up. I like the idea Clark brought up. Reminded me of also a Christian Saturday detention. If you get Saturday detention, you got to pay $20. And the $20 pays the teacher to supervise. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If you're on community service, you probably don't have any money to pay the fine in the first place. Is that right, Mr. Bishop? So how are you going to pay $20 to get supervised?
Then that's their problem.
That's their problem.
But it's ultimately going to fall on this board. Fund whatever you
want to do with it. And organize it and fund it.
It's going to fall.
So we can either do something or we can live with the trash.
First thing, if I don't let it be thrown out there, then you haven't got as much of a problem. That's the first thing you need to do.
Right.
Education.
This is more science, yeah.
It's a people's on.
You know, I haven't said anything, and I listen to it all the time. At one time, that was community, that was signed all over the community, please do not litter.
Yeah.
Second thing, it got to be a community pride, but you got to have some community pride and not do this. Third thing, there is some community-minded people in these churches that will adopt a little street or whatever and help if we ask. You know, when you go getting the law involved, it's about like the person who is running the stuff that we don't like to see. Yeah, you get the law and the law catch them, all right, but there's one out there replaces them or two. Mm-hmm. You know, so the law might not be the best thing. But if we can get and tap into the resources we've got in the churches and in the schools and let them adopt the street, they will pick up that paper. But now them mattresses, I don't know where the mattresses come from at midnight. You know, I don't think you got enough law officers in town to watch the mattresses being flying out of the back of the truck. I don't mind the law, and I like to see the law. Surveillance is a good thing, you know. Park him on my street, park him by my house. And I would like to go to bed at night knowing that law officers sitting out there in front of my house. It doesn't bother me one bit. But it is something about a community pride. If you don't have community pride, none of this will work. And they'll wait until the officer leaves, then they'll dump the paper out.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Portwood, would you consider in your editorial maybe of addressing community pride and the conditions that we have here, and just see, you know, that would be part of an awareness factor to, and then maybe we need to talk in our churches and in our clubs and any ideas, but I'd like for this to be put back on the agenda for the next meeting, whether it's a workshop or whatever, so that we can keep following up with it, just see if we've got any data collected by that time, and just where we are. I don't want this to something that we talk about today and we drop it. Okay, enough said about the trash. Okay. Item number 20, the board to discuss Highway 98 Equipment Bridge as agenda by Chairman Fiegel. What I would like to do is I would like this board to pass a resolution to name the Equipment Bridge on 98 after Ed Sheffield in his honor. Anywhere you mention Ed Sheffield in this county, the one thing that first comes up is veteran. Mm-hmm. He is a veteran of all veterans. I worked with him when I was on the city council, and I had the idea for the Veterans Memorial Park and formed that committee. Ed Sheffield was the first person that I approached with my idea, and he said, anything I can do. And he hit the ground running. And I mean to tell you, that man worked. He raised a lot of money. He helped us dig the ditches to put the wiring in, along with other good veterans. He helped us when we laid the sod. We were all out there laying the sod. Veterans, Ed Sheffield was always there. Ed Sheffield is a former Korean POW. I think he has served his country and his community well. And in his honor, this is something I think that I would like for this board to do.
I concur, Madam Chair. Ed Sheffield was a part of the Ecofina community. He lived there after he and Jamie retired. Well, Jamie wasn't retired, but he had his place down at Ecofina. That same river that we're talking about naming this bridge for. Mm-hmm. Ed Sheffield and I grew up in the woods of Cabbage Grove. He was several years older than I was. But we were neighbors. We lived within a mile of each other, knowing all my life. He's a good man. I remember when Ed Sheffield was captured. The folks didn't know where he was. He stayed in that Eugenia camp, I think, for 4 years. And if I remember correctly, he was declared legally dead, and his folks got that little insurance of money. And then, near the end of the war, Ed was released, and he came home, and we had a big parade for Ed Sheffield. And since he used to work for my dad, cropping tobacco, my mother invited he and his parents all over for dinner at our place. And it bothered Mama until she died. She had chicken and rice. Well, all they'd eaten for 4 years over there in the prison camp was rice. It embarrassed her to know he didn't. But I remember that as it was yesterday. He was skinny as a rail when he got out of that POW camp. He always suffered from a back problem. He got that because he was forced, he and other American POWs, to actually move logs by hand in the snow and freeze to death. So I can think of no more deserving person to name a bridge out. Wish we had something bigger than a bridge to name for him. So I concur with you 100%.
Thank you so much. Anybody else?
I met Ed Sheffield out at the Buckeye when he was working out there when he resigned. I replaced him in that job, chief referee. I thought Ed was nice, great. He did serve his country well, and I concur with what I heard. Have no problem.
Commissioner Fiegel, you're going to put it in HFL Memorial Bridge, or what you're going to put it, what do you want to name it?
Let's see.
How do we do the
name?
Also,
Tyler, we did the one at Osceola, and he, it would be to honor, he's Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield.
Make a petition legislate to do it, stay with it.
And, you know, if we need any more specifics, and his wife can get it, but it would be Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield. And I just, I'm like you, I can't think of anybody that would deserve.
You know, I thought about this once I read the agenda. You always want to, or I think about it, or leave out somebody else more deserving, and I honestly can't think of anybody more deserving than Ed Sheffield.
We're giving $1,000 scholarship in his name, voted last night to do it every year.
Historic. Right.
He's in that movie that we made, had a few, University of State doing that movie on Taylor County. He's in that. You
know, now, Ed's health is not well enough. Pam, do you have an update?
But he's home, and he's sort of, I think he might be bedridden, and they're getting home help and people to come in and help. He wanted to be home. He wanted to come home. And so that's where he is now. And I'll tell you about Ed. He's very humble. He doesn't brag about what he did. And he doesn't talk about his suffering and everything that he went through. And I've known him for a long time. And he doesn't say much about all that. So thank y'all. I think this is the right thing to do. So I guess what we do is a resolution, and then we present that to what, our senator?
Not your state rep, maybe.
Yeah. And
both of them.
Yeah, then see how long did it take all in from the time we
it took 2 or 3 years. They did it in 1 year through the session. You get, they can't this year probably. Next year should be able to get
through. Probably next legislature will be able to get through.
Yeah, I sure like to get it done then.
This is a pretty smooth process, especially with him. But they got to do it, the governor got to sign it. They take it on to another deal. It's not an individual deal anyway.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get it next legislative session, I hope. Okay, well, do we need to, I guess we need to, a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
That's to adopt the resolution.
Aye. Yes.
The legislature.
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay. Motion carries.
Okay. I'd say something. My family should appreciate the bridge and shake it up.
Yeah. I think that's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Item 21, the board to discuss solid waste residential hauling permit as agenda by Chairman Phelan. Y'all know that I've spoke about this where there's a really nice young man that wishes to start his own business of picking up garbage in the county. He would hire several people, so it would create several jobs. And in my district, I know, I've had quite a few people tell me, why don't y'all have county garbage pickup? And, you know, this board has discussed this several times since I've been here. And we've talked about waste pro and waste management and all of that, you know, and just kind of haven't been able to get it. But this person already has quite a few people that he would have as clients, and so if it creates another business and jobs, and someone here locally wants to do it, and if it's a service that's desired by some people, and people that don't want it, I'm happy to do it. So, but people that do want it, he's willing to do that. So my question is, what do we need to do so this person can go ahead and start his business? We got to decide, you know, where he's going to be able to take it, if he's going to take it to the roll-offs or if he has to take it to the Osceola landfill or whatever. There's some things we need to decide, but I'd like to move forward to give this person this opportunity. So what do we need to do, Mr. Lakey?
I think there's some things in the state statute kind of speak to this, that we have a certain responsibility to monitor trash service.
Under 125, yeah. But the one thing that I looked at pursuant to the chairperson's request was this application for residential solid waste hauling services, this request for permit. It's very copious and really, I don't know that that this can be met by an individual, all the requirements of this permit. So, and I think what I was asked to do is to say, you know, some of these things are just, it's, for instance, the insurance that's required is very high. The applicant has to live in Taylor County for 5 years before doing the permit. I don't know how legitimate that is. It's probably a good idea, but
onerous.
It's an onerous.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say draconian, but it is onerous application. My suggestion would be have your fellow fill out the application as best you can, and then bring this before the board, and you can waive some of these requirements.
And that's what I'd like to do. Let's make it easy instead of hard. Let's not make it impossible for somebody to open their own business.
Well, like again, my suggestion is that if the person wants to attempt to fill this out and then bring it before the board, and you can say, well, you know, I can't meet this particular requirement. Let's talk about it and see if we can't do a waiver on some of it. And then issue the permit if, in fact, this person is such that you have confidence in the person.
Yes. And, I mean, and who knows? I mean, it may get competitive. Somebody else may want to start their own business. It's a big county, and
this also says, you know, this would be in the unincorporated areas of Taylor County.
Yes,
and also, it may be a specific area that this person would want to do, not the whole county. But that's, you know, I mean, you can imagine if you're doing all the unincorporated area of Taylor County and you had some people there that signed up and some people didn't, you know, it would be, so this person has got to, you know, to be able to determine exactly what he or she wants to do in the area that he or she wants to pick up.
Right. And
so, that's my suggestion, y'all.
Thank you. Now, when I was talking with him, I talked to him several times, and I did mention, well, you know, you may be 12 miles down the road and have two customers, and then it may be, you know, power four. And he said, he already has quite a few in some areas that he pretty much feels like he has them. And he said, and I'll do whatever I have to do because he says, I'm pretty sure that my business will grow. So, I mean, you know, that will be his business decision, of course. But I just want to make it so that we don't inhibit people from doing this because we've got onerous requirements.
Well,
so I will get him. Do you mind? Can I have that application?
Sure. We got a bunch of them right over here. We're ready for you.
And
I'm going to give one to everybody so you can look at see how onerous it really is.
Okay. And I'll get it to him, and then he can go from there and come before us, and we'll try to work with him then. Thank you. You know, what I like about this is you don't make anybody do something. If they can't afford it or don't want it,
they can go to it enough.
They can do what they want to do.
And there are some counties in the state of Florida allow this. Marion County is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They allow private hauling to do
it. Yes. If it creates jobs, I think it's good.
Mark, we have a
question. A quick question on that.
Yeah.
Would the customer still be required to pay the landfill?
So?
Yes. I think so. We talked about it before.
Okay.
And, you know, that 140 is still there. And when I talked with this individual, you know, we talked about that. But the people that I've talked to in my district that desire to have this service, they said, listen, I'll pay the $140 and I'll pay whatever they charge me to come pick up. Because a lot of them are older people.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
They can't do it. And they said, And this person is not going to make it so outrageously expensive that, you know.
Right.
So, no, don't worry about that.
Plus, this collection that he does for county residents only, we'll probably end up in one of our facilities anyway.
Right.
Exactly. If we require the person to haul it to us, so the people are paying the $100 for it,
yeah.
And the garbage is still going to get it. This is good.
That's
cool. I would, as a recommendation, like to see maybe you be required to provide us a customer list, maybe quarterly or whatever.
Yeah, right.
We can kind of check it and
we got to know where the garbage is coming from.
You know, make sure it doesn't pick up small business or something, yeah. And not pay the one for you, whatever.
Yeah, and I think he would be very willing to do that. And I'll tell you another thing, too. Maybe that, Kenneth, would help some of the problem of the stuff going out on the hotways. You know, you've got somebody responsible.
Well, the first requirement is for him to
have
his
tarp.
Well, to have a tarp on his vehicle. That's the first requirement.
So, and we need to, you know, check with the roll-off, you know, folks and you know, try to get some input and, you know, maybe it's something that, I mean, I don't know, we're up for suggestions. Is it going to be certain days or can it show up any time? And do we have what it takes at the roll-off things to accommodate a large load at one time? Those kind of things we need answers to also.
Maybe he could be just required to go maybe a couple of roll-off sites instead of access.
And make sure that we can accommodate it and work with him. But I just feel certain we could work this out.
Was he going to pick up just household garbage or bins and hot pots and sofas?
I don't know. I thought it was household garbage, but now that you're asking that, I really. But when he comes before us, you can ask him that, you know.
There's a lot of people that love to have somebody pick up their yard waste, you know, and bigger stuff, you know.
Well, he has. That's all I'm going to say for right now.
Okay.
I don't want to speak out of turn. Yes, ma'am.
I just had an idea as I listened.
Would you mind come up here, please?
Sure. All this trash talk.
We talk a lot of trash here.
I live in, well, for the most part, in Calhoun County, in a very remote area, so I understand what y'all are dealing with. And I personally, and I think Mr. Rowell probably feels the same way, it has to start with educating even the kids. It's no different than a smoking campaign when you help the kids in school or in 4-H or wherever. Understand, you know, this is bad, it's ugly, it can cause a lot of other problems. Mm-hmm. If it were started there, I think they would be saying, Daddy, you just lost something out the back of your truck.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing that's going to bring awareness.
That's right. And I had mentioned earlier, get it in the schools. You're right.
Yep.
Zach, thank you. What is your name?
Diane Shoulders.
That must be working in Missouri. That must have started really young.
They sure must have.
Because it would amaze you to walk down country roads up there. There's no trash. And I have the people that live there. I said, y'all pick up the trash? And we don't have no trash. And I said, you know, and there's trucks, cars going everywhere. It amazed me.
Well, do you know one thing that once we all got on this board, and I know I speak for me, when I travel to other areas, I pay attention to their roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this road is terrible. What do they do here?
How they've been mowed.
And I look at the sides of the road for how they're mowed, how they're trashed, and you just start automatically looking at those things once you're...
Prepare your cut.
And we do it. I do it all the time.
One more comment. When you have a prospect, an economic development prospect, come into your town, and when they come in and they see light and they see trash everywhere, I know for a fact, some forget it, this is not where we're going to live.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about that. Thank you. Okay. Item 22, the board to discuss maintenance issues as agenda by Chairman Thiegel. First of all, the most important thing on my list is the calls that I get about the flags, our American flag. I had a call last week about how shameful our flag was on the front of our courthouse. If you go around there when you leave here, it's ragged. The bottom of it is ripped up. This is shameful. This is shameful for our country. This is shameful for our veterans that have fought so hard for our country. I'm embarrassed. This should not be. We've had these problems before. Another flag at the sports complex has been, and we've had these complaints. This is unacceptable. A flag doesn't cost that much, even if it did. It's unacceptable. How can we appoint somebody to make sure that this doesn't happen again? I mean, we can't have our flags hanging that's ripped up and faded out.
Well, one thing, please report to us if that's the case, and we'll get right on in the replacement. So if anybody sees that, anybody, please let us know.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want somebody calling and saying, your flag at your courthouse is ripped up. That's what I don't want. We need a program. Just develop a program. Change these flags out.
Our county maintenance person ought to
need a flag inspector.
Responsible for replacing the flag when it needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd like something to call it better.
They ordered two or three at one time, and we would store them over the courthouse, and when they got ready to change them, they'd just come by my office, get a new flag, and put it up.
And that's what
I haven't been very long. We replaced the one at the sports complex.
Right.
It was the same issue.
Right. But what we don't want is flying there ragged, and then somebody has calls and said, hey, do you know that y'all's flag is all this? Well, no, I don't want those kind of calls. Let's be proactive and not let this happen again. This is just unacceptable. I know we can do better than that. The courthouse awnings, as I'm looking at the flag, I'm looking at the courthouse. All those awnings over the windows at the courthouse, they've got the trim on, it's just hanging down. It's come up. It's ragged looking. Some of them look like it has scale growing all over them on that side over there. Again, drive up to our courthouse. You over here in Taylor County looking, you might want to bring a business in here and you want to go in the courthouse. Well, you see a ripped up flag. You see the awnings that have their trim that's hanging down, tore off. You see awnings that have scale all over them. You walk on over here to this building here at the administrative complex, and you got paint peeling off.
And you know, it's an office-sided building, and you got weeds growing out of the gut.
So, you know, we need to do better. Whatever we need to do, bring us some suggestions. If it means whatever it means we have to do, we need to at least have the opportunity to consider how we're going to fix all of this. The Johnson Strickland Firehouse and voting precinct, it looks like it's abandoned. The weeds are grown up. Looks like a big old sack of trash has been dumped out in front of it, been laying there wet and soggy. Doesn't look good. I think we need to keep our firehouses, the grounds, looking neat. That's a reflection on Taylor County. It's a reflection on us. Hodges Park, we got spring break coming. And just about every year somebody will call. We were down there spring break, sand spurs all over, or trash, or no toilet paper, or this, or that. That place, people do pull off in 19. I've been down there and seen cars with tags from different states where they saw the signs in the beach. They drove down there. And we need to make sure that Hodges Park looks pristine. It's our only public beach. And we need to make sure, you know, you got a metal roof up there and part of the roof is one color and where it's been patched and the other. We need to put a new roof on it if that's what it takes. It needs the new paint, and everything down there needs a new fresh color, coat of paint, and a more desirable color. The bathrooms, when you go in them, they look nasty. They need to be painted and cleaned up. I have complaints that there's not enough of toilet tissue and towels, that often there's none. I had a call a couple of weeks, two or 3 weeks ago, that said, why don't y'all have toilet paper at the sports complex? Every time we're out there, there's no toilet paper out there. I said, well, I didn't know that. So, you know, all these facilities that we have need to be cleaned, and there needs to be paper towels and toilet tissue in. So we don't have long, only about 3 weeks before spring break, and there will be, there's already people using Hodges Park. Mm-hmm. And if I had time, I drove around, I probably could have found a lot more stuff, but that's a good start.
That's a pretty good list you got.
That's a good start for right now. I'd like to see us step up our maintenance. And
see, you go out and you look, you see things as a lady that I don't notice. You know, I've not that observed. I do notice that trash on the roof.
But see, that's why I need to be here.
That's right. Every board needs to have one lady on the board.
Anybody got anything to say besides me? Commissioner Page?
You're doing a good job.
Okay.
You work hard, eh?
The one thing I would say is that Richard does take care of, or he's responsible for addressing a lot of this stuff. And I know it's been a while now that he has been unable to have the benefit of a community, or a trustee, excuse me, from the local jail. And, you know, having an extra set of hands or an able body that you can direct and go do this while he is addressing more important and more capable things goes a long way. So, you know, if you want to see some, maybe some better efficiencies in a maintenance issue, maybe there might be some, you know, a dialogue between us and the sheriffs where that trustee program can maybe be reinstituted where you can have the benefit of some help.
That's right. And
yeah,
I certainly, by no means, I'm trying to throw him under the bus. Because, and that's why I asked Mr. Levy, come back with a plan. What do we need to do? Let us know what we need to do.
That's okay. Been a noticeable change, that he's lost that resource.
If we can't get that help, do we need to provide some more? Whatever, I mean, we're just looking for, I'm looking for a plan. You know, whatever it takes, and if we can do it, that's what we do.
Well, the enormity of our resources is very obvious that one person can handle.
Exactly, and I've been hearing that for a long time.
And we add buildings to our inventory.
Yes, sir.
Ag centers and supervisor elections buildings. Sooner or later, our maintenance person is going to need some help.
You're already there.
We already have them ready.
Bring us a suggestion.
Bring us a suggestion.
Well, not only that, but several years ago, we used to outsource our maintenance, our restroom cleaning and our park maintenance, or bathroom cleaning, to TARP. And I don't know how many years ago, for whatever reason, we did not continue to do, I don't know if the program went away, I'm not sure what happened, but we reassigned that to our special projects manager. And we have a long list of mowing and restroom maintenance that they have to do every week, which of course is a lot busier in the springtime. We no longer have our free squads that we used to get from Department of Corrections. We had two free squads at that time, which was why it was reassigned to him. Now we're down to one paid squad and sporadic free squad. So that has made an impact on our maintenance efforts as well.
He said yesterday it had been there 3 weeks since he's had either of the free squads.
Correct. So we take our paid squad and we, you know, they're picking up trash, they're cleaning restrooms, they're running around. We do have several projects scheduled. Hodges Park is one of them that we're trying to get done, but it's just, it is hard to stay on task with some of these projects.
I understand, and I'm sitting here thinking about Commissioner Moody, and Commissioner Moody several times over the course of the last few years has mentioned about having somebody to see if we could get somebody to set up a camp, but get down at the beach and be responsible for some things. Let them stay there for free if they could keep it clean, like the boat ramps and Mandalay and places like that. And we know we talked about it, and we're still talking about it.
We haven't advertised it yet. We need to do that.
We just never have decided, yes, this is what we're going to do, and but that's another possibility.
We need to put that on the workshop too, and we can get that done.
And Hampton Springs. I had somebody else talking about Hampton Springs. What a disgrace. And it is. There was a lot of dollars spent on that place, and it's shameful. But if we could have somebody to pull up the stay out there and maintain it and watch after it. How could we lose on it?
I mean, we could.
Yeah.
I have an idea. I was running by you first. We talked about it, but we just didn't have a chance to sit down. I've got an idea.
Okay. All right. Good. First. We're going to get together maybe today. But, okay. All right. We're on 23. The board to consider designation of one commissioner to serve on the Suwannee River Economic Board of Directors as requested by the Suwannee River Economic Council, Inc. And I believe, Commissioner Page, is that the one you've been serving on?
I serve on that board. I'll continue to do so unless one of you would like to relieve me.
I'm okay. I think you do a good job.
Thank you.
So, do we need to have a motion? Okay, is there a motion to appoint Commissioner Page to stay in that position?
I move.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County Administrator Items Number 24, the board to consider approval of request by the Optimist Club to use Keaton Beach Coastal Park for their annual fishing tournament to be held on Saturday, May the 5th, 2018, and to waive any fees as agenda by the County Administrator.
Motion
to
approve. Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 25, the County Administrator to discuss purchase of two motor graders for the Public Works Department.
Right, we wanted to, this has been brought before you before. The last thought was to go out for bid for these motor graders. However, if I can find the prices here, prices on these motor graders are on the state contract. And what I'm going to bring to your attention, review this, make myself, Wanda. Your John Deere motor grader that we wish to purchase, if we're just going to buy it brand new, $181,948. And all this is vetted on the state contract. If you want to buy a comparable Cat motor grader, $197,156. If you wanted to buy a comparable Case motor grader, $185,404. I want to bring this item to your attention that they are already vetted on the state contract, and we already have the lower price, and they're used to operating John Deere and working on them. So I kind of wanted to work this through kind of one step at a time. Are you okay with us having checked the prices on the state contract?
I am.
And
I am too.
One question. Do we have anything we're going to trade in?
Yes.
Can you trade in the machine on the state contract?
Yes, yeah, so we've actually had a deal worked up where we can trade three of our operators in for a $98,000 total.
Well, John Deere was the lowest quote that I heard in reading.
Yes.
Is that what you want with John Deere?
Yes.
I believe in giving the man stuff to work, what he needs to work with.
Me too.
I just want to go over something that Daniel gave me before I came here. The budget for the road department was $2,411,356 at start. When we went back and did the insurance increase, the retirement, and the 3% increase, it raised the county road department budget to $2,463,260. You have a reserve of $250 and a capital $400 in that budget. Just wanted to let you know that because we, if y'all both, y'all talking about financing for 5 years, so that in the 5 years it'll be yours. You have budgeted $58,560 for 2 million motor graders for a lease. So keep in mind, if you're gonna buy, your payments is probably gonna be more over a 5 year period. So your budget, you don't have to go back and decide where you can take that money from.
Yeah. Well, we
I don't know how far you've looked into it, how much your payments will be per year or per month. You've got it, two graders at $2,440 each. The total per month would be $4,880. The total per year would be $58,560. So if it's going to be any more than that, you're going to have to decide where you're going to get the money from to increase those payments.
We're talking about an outright purchase.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Two things we wanted today was, one, are you okay with us using this figure off state contract?
I'm satisfied
with that. Second is, we're okay with purchase instead of leasing. Because if we lease, at the end of that, end of that lease, we'd have to buy that machine $170,000. So it's better that we purchase them. But what we wanted to do is simply, let's get on the same page with that. We will come back at next meeting with actual some figures, because yes, these will be higher figures. I think we can afford it. We're going to show you where we can do that. But
show us where we can get the money.
But we're going to come back in a couple weeks, work with finance, and actually have some hard numbers for you.
Let's do it. Well, that's one thing that I just wanted y'all to bring to your attention, because the more that you take out of your budget, the less you're going to have in your districts per year to fund other projects that you want to, because you get it from the secondary road fund.
Yeah, it will cost you more, but we're going to show you that in a couple of weeks.
You've got to have something to work with.
He's got to have it. I mean, you know, we know that this machinery and a lot of your equipment is way past the life expectancy, so to speak. So, you know, we need to do what we got to do. You're doing a good job.
Appreciate it. Keep them running.
I appreciate you taking good care of my district.
Yeah, I'm letting you ask. Mine don't look right. Mine don't look right.
Don't
guess
with me.
Suck him over there in the university towards mine.
Item 26, the board to consider lease agreement with Next Edge Technology for placement of sensor on County Lot Pole in Hodges Park as agenda by the county administration.
You know, I was approached unsolicited by a company, Next Edge Technology. And you flip over to page 4, what this is all about is that in 2015, the FCC approved usage of a certain spectrum called the Citizens Broadband Radio Service. However, that spectrum to be utilized by companies had to be monitored. And apparently, they're putting monitors up and down the coast. They've got one agreement in Horseshoe. Congress already worked on this, by the way. Anyway, I checked with Horseshoe, and they're going to put it on the water tower. We would be the next spot up the coast. I think the next spot would be Caribou. So they're looking at every 25 miles or so, putting in a sensor. It does not emit anything. It sucks in signals from the government that if they have to shut down this particular broadband, they can do so. It would be a sensor, smaller sensor. Ideal location is at Hodges Park on that light pole that's kind of in that little turnaround. It'd be mounted on the top of that pole. They would pay us a lease. They're proposing $1,000 a year, but we might be getting them up a little bit more. I'd like $100 a month at least, but that's what this is about.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you had a chance to look at the lease.
I have, and on February the 15th, I sent an email to LaWanda. What this is, I don't know that it didn't make it to the packet yet, so let me just go through it real quick, like, because this came up real quick. I said that I've looked at the lease, and I made the following comments. Paragraph 2 provides that the landlord, that would be the board, states that the property is free of all lead-based paints, asbestos, and other hazardous substances. So we need to make sure that we're okay on that. Okay, good. It provides for 3 additional 5-year terms at 2% annual increase. So you're talking about a 20-year lease when you get right down to it, because, you know, it's an option to, it renews automatically on 5-year terms. So you got to be aware of that. So when I'm dead and gone, it's still going to be going on. I'm not talking about anybody else but myself. Paragraph 6. I don't agree for our county to waive any provisions of Chapter 768-28. That's the sovereign immunity statute. In other words, 768-28 waives some sovereign immunity, but there's specific requirements of that and caps on it. So I want that in the lease, and you tell the people that. And then on paragraph 14, and we got burned years ago on agreeing for somebody to assign one of our leases or so forth. And so I always put in there that we don't agree to allow assignments, but we'll certainly make provisions for a reasonable request to assign it. In other words, if they were to assign it just to Mr. Putin, We wouldn't like that, would we? I know I wouldn't. So what we say is that we don't agree. And then lastly, of course, is my old favorite, that we want an agreement that any lawsuit shall be exclusively in Taylor County, and that will be governed by the laws of the state of Florida, because you're dealing with an entity that's out of state, and they say, well, we like to go to federal court. No, we don't. We want to stay here. So,
I agree. If we do the deal, we need to do it on our terms.
Yes.
Right.
So my suggestion to y'all is give us instructions to, if you want to do it, and I'm always for the county getting money, and I don't think it's going to cause us any problems if we can get these provisions in that are negotiated. So you could say your motion to be, we approve y'all going out to do it as long as we get these provisions.
If it was admitting something, I'd have a little bit worried, but it just takes in a signal from the government if they were to deem, and then it, by cell phone towers, it sends them something. So.
Okay. Does anybody want
to? I'll make the motion that Mr. Bishop, the Justice Brady Department.
Okay. Now, I'm not a commissioner, y'all. Don't be putting that down where the paper's gone. The motion is that you approve the county administrator to negotiate a lease with these provisions that I requested.
That's my motion.
Okay. All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dix. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Just a quick matter. Do I need to bring this back at a future meeting then to approve the list? This motion is just negotiated.
Because there may be something that they say they don't want to do, and then we can talk about that.
Right.
Everything's negotiable.
Yeah. Item 27, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
Just one quick thing. I got a request to buy a small piece of property, but I want to know kind of where you want me to go if I get these in the future, what to even do with this one. Unsolicited request to purchase a piece of county property. This is just something small next to his property, obviously. I haven't even looked into it, but I just want to.
So this is somebody wants to buy a piece of county property?
No, we don't, obviously. I guess we own little small pieces here, there, and yonder all over the county.
And, we need to know, obviously where it is, and if we have any use for it, any future use, what else do we need to do
now? You want to let me come up at Cedar Island?
Yeah.
There's several things that have to be done under the statute 125. That's the general statute with regard to selling property, because you've got to determine that it's not surplus, but you have no use for it. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that you have to do, and then what as your lawyer for the few years that I've been the attorney, I've always said that the best way to do, if in fact you're going to sell a piece of property, that we advertise it and have people bid on it. Because if you sell a piece of property just to someone, one entity or one person, you're going to get a complaint from somebody. I wanted that property so bad, and y'all just sold it to Joe over here. I had a client named Joe Blow one time, so I don't use it. But anyway, so that's, just because they give you a solicitation, there's a lot of things that need to be done with respect to that. First of all, you got to determine where it is and determine whether, in fact, you have no use for it. Generally speaking, over the years, the people that were on the board before weren't real interested in selling county property, because you kind of opened up Pandora's box on that. But
I guess that's what I'm asking. Do you want to entertain these or not? First of all.
Well, the first thing you got to know is where is it, where it's at.
Yeah. Is it a room?
Well, I don't, without going into details, because I haven't gone into details. I guess the main thing is, are we interested in selling anything like Congress said?
I think that would be on a case-by-case basis.
I do too, because
if it's... Bring it to us and we'll determine if, you know, from the location, if we're excited about it.
Okay, then I'll maybe make the first determination. Do we have any need that I think or...
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Then I'll bring it to you and on case-by-case and you can decide.
Yeah,
okay.
And then would it benefit us to put it on the tax roll versus keep it where it
there
is if we have no further use or whatever? But I think we need a written process for this. Obviously, we don't have one.
Where?
Okay, then I think this needs to be a written process of what to do when this comes up. This is what needs to happen, and like Mr. Bishop suggested, some of the things, and I like the idea of going through the bid process. I like that idea. But then bring us something and so we can, you know, look over that, and if we agree on that, adopt this process.
Well, it's statutory. It's statutory.
Okay.
It's statutory.
Okay.
What I was saying is statutory. Not necessarily the bid process, because that's just what this board has done in the past, which is a very fair way to do it, in my view.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Item 28, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you wish to speak on something that was not on the agenda, then you can come forward and speak for 3 minutes. State your name and address. Come forward.
Stanford 2901 Riverside, Stehatchee. Could I be brought up to date on your progress on the canoe launch at the community center fishing dock or kayak launch? That you have money for, and it's been scheduled for approximately 3 years now. A couple meetings ago, I asked about it, and it was going to be looked into. And it appeared that if it's not done by the middle of April, you lose the money.
We shouldn't have not left before
less than. I do know for a fact that I got here in the morning with Gray off and moved a piece of concrete on the bank of the river. We're going to mount their midsection dock, so I'm ready to get started on it.
Okay, so it's okay.
Also, our special projects manager has met with Kenneth about building the steps. That we'll do that in house, and that will be coming up very quickly. Okay. While he's working on the design
that's,
of the
that's
dock.
Part of why I got behind in the morning, moved them block or this rope concrete rubble where it is in the river bank.
Right.
And they've got to put some pilings in for a landing.
Right.
And I've got to go down there tomorrow and do that so they can get the pilings in for the landing so they start on it.
Correct. Do you know if the landing has been ordered?
I know Kenneth assured me that it would be
the
project
would be done.
Completed.
Okay.
Yeah. But
if he said that, I'm fine.
Yeah. He said I'd go down on
that.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you for helping us stay on task.
Well, we get so many requests about kayak launching areas, a little house library acts as a welcome center there, and any week we probably get a half dozen to a dozen people that show up with them on their things, or they're representing a group that wants to come there to have an outing for a weekend. And right now, we tell them, well, there's the bank, and the boat launch is fine, but it's taking up my big boats. Mm-hmm. And I hate to discourage anybody that wants to come to Taylor County to spend money.
You got it.
That's right. That's right. Well, we sure don't want to lose this money. It sounds like everybody's on
on
the task with it, and so.
Yeah, and it was. It's one of the last things on the grant, and the grant has been with us 3 years.
Okay, well, we're going to get it.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pam.
Anyone else have anything to speak about that was not on the agenda? If not, then we're going to go to board informational items. Commissioner Dems.
Yes, ma'am. House Road and Foskey Street, I believe it is. I asked that it be cleaned up. They did clean it up. And it's looking good. Okay? I appreciate the interest of the people shows and the commission shows for trying to keep the community clean. I appreciate the people that come with the economic development. Every one of us ran on the premises that we wanted economic development. All we can get in this town to help us. And I think the improvement sometime with the our buildings and our appearance of our buildings and things that might be expanded, I think that it means something to us to show that we are thinking and we are not walking backwards. Counter it all, get one place to stand still and move forward. If you stand still, you go backward if you don't do something for it. I do believe in a progressive community, and I think this community is moving in a way. I just appreciate it.
Well said. Commissioner Page.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the public for showing up. Listening to the hard and great debate here, we deal with these issues. We had a good meeting, I mean. Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your leadership. I know it sounds like we talk about the same things over and over, and we kind of key it up, but we don't ever get completed. So our goal is to kind of complete some of this stuff, like the RVs and Hodges Park, or Hampton Springs. Kind of a year catch up there, Mr. Ted. But anyhow, it's a great honor for me to be able to serve you. And I kind of like these morning meetings. It worked out pretty good. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Commissioner Moody.
Appreciate everybody coming in. I'm enjoying these morning meetings too. It's a lot better than working all day and then coming up here 10 or 3 or 4 hours. You know. And I really think we got a lot done this meeting. I really think it worked out good. That's all I've got.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone for being here today, and I especially want to thank this board for us being able to work together through all these issues, help each other. We've got a good working board, y'all, and we want to keep it that way. Staff, I appreciate what y'all do. Mr. Bishop, you keep us straight. We really appreciate that. Appreciate everything that you do. And Hank, thank you again. Our fire chief just came in. Thank you. Sheriff's Department, thank you for the protection. And all our regulars, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming today. And please try to get us some infrastructure money. that's basically, I'm glad to be back. I'm tickled pink to be back. And anybody else have anything to say?
I've got some good news, Fire Chief.
I'm very proud to say we recently did our ISO audit. And we've been waiting for the scoring. We used to be classed as a class 6 department. Mm-hmm. So we actually got lowered down to a class 5. So it was a whole lot of work, paperwork, training. But we were very proud. Like they just came today, so I'm very pleased to announce to you that we did lower to a class 5 on our ISO scale.
All right.
So that's a round of applause.
We got a good fire chief. Anybody else have anything? If not, is there a motion to adjourn? All in favor, please.